Blog Talk Radio.
Tune in for the Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann Show, Sundays 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. Pacific Time, 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern, to discuss current events, news, and political opinion with Lucid Libertarian flair. I promote liberty, freedom, our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and limited government, while speaking against corporate and government corruption, tyranny, and the globalist Great Reset agenda that undermines our precious American sovereignty. Please also like and follow my Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann page on Facebook. You can help me battle their freedom-loathing censorship by visiting my page regularly, along with reacting, commenting, and sharing my posts. Thank you, and I hope listening to my show becomes part of your Sunday night routine.
Well, in the storm of any unplanned event, it is always best to gather all the information you can before planning your route. That is where CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque come in. Our services include pregnancy testing, ultrasounds, STI testing, education, and after-abortion care. What most people do not realize is this. Men are involved in this, too. A large percentage of all abortions are perpetuated by the father of the baby. And we have female and male advocates at each center to meet and talk with those who come to our centers with questions. You can contact any of our centers here in Albuquerque for further information. There are two, with our Northeast office at 505-880-0862 and our Southwest office at 505-360-0090. Outside of Albuquerque are Edgewood at 505-281-5408, Rio Rancho at 505-896-2305, and Los Lunas also at 505-565-3838. That's CareNet of Albuquerque, where help is always there for those storms that are always just around the corner.
But what we saw in that Senate today was a cowardly group of Republicans who apparently have no option to see.
Show me where it says that protest is supposed to be polite and peaceful.
Do something about your dad's immigration practices, you feckless.
They go low, he can't.
How do you resist the temptation to run up and wring her neck?
The biggest terror threat in this country is white men, most of them radicalized right on to the right.
I thought you should have punched him in the face, but even if you lost, he insulted your wife.
Yes.
He came down the escalator and called Mexicans rapists and murderers. He said, well, what do you think I should have done? So I think you should have punched him in the face and then gotten out of the race. You would have been a hero.
I'd like to punch him in the face. If I said we're in high school, I'd take him behind the gym and beat the hell out of him.
Punch some people in the face!
When was the last time an actor assassinated a president?
Amazing how people try to frame everything racially and how they create divisions among our society.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Number one of NWCR Radio with your host, Robert Garding. This is Duke Brooks of Radio Free Delmarva from 92.7 WGMD, Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. And I'm proud to introduce my friend Robert as we fight to protect the America we know and love. through the silver microphone of freedom with the voice of reason in this unreasonable world. You're listening to NWCR Radio, broadcast through the CNM network in Albuquerque, New Mexico, from our Freedom Studio. And now, here's Robert.
Okay, we are here tonight. Hopefully my microphone is working. Like I said in the chat room, I forgot to turn it on until after I got the studio started up and opened the thing up to start this whole thing up. I was wondering, Lorianne, did you have
a good... Well, I can hear you okay.
Oh, good. Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
Pretty mellow. You know, just me and my dog and my two cats. I usually don't have much planned for Thanksgiving, you know, but I did try to make some plans, but those fell through, and so neither here or there. So, yeah, it was just mellow, you know, like any other day for me, really, except for Nikita got her phone that a friend of mine got an elk, and...
Oh, boy.
Sent me a couple of steaks and goodies, and then also like one of the big bones of the leg, you know.
Oh, got the drumstick.
So probably like two, you know, probably a good foot and a half long, 2 feet long. Big, nice, big, huge bone. So she's been busy with that the last couple of days.
Yeah, we didn't do too much of anything. Decided we wanted to. Go out to eat so we didn't have to cook or clean up afterwards. So so we went to Golden Corral and just ate there. And that was pretty much all we did. The weather here is starting to turn. About a week ago, we were in the 70s, and today our high was like 45, so it's getting cooler.
Yeah, it was nice here, you know, for Oregon. Our rain let up here. It rained on Wednesday and then cleared up yesterday. And so now we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 days now in the forecast in a row with no rain. So I might go out and see if I can get some crap done in the yard, you know, cut back the old stuff from the peony bushes and maybe see if I can get to cutting down my rose bushes and stuff since we're going to have a nice break in the weather. Good opportunity to do that.
Yeah, well, I think they're predicting snow this this weekend here, and I seriously doubt if anything will really fall. We might see snow falling, but I seriously doubt if anything will collect, so we'll probably get a little bit of white on the mountain, but not too much here. But everybody's talking about, oh, it's going to snow here. Yeah, right. I don't think so.
Sure.
Well, I actually hope it does.
Hopefully you don't get so much that it becomes a nuisance, you know, and
yeah.
I don't mind getting a little bit of snow, you know. If it's like 2 or 3 inches and it just kind of blankets everything and it looks pretty, then that's fine. It's not much of a nuisance that way, you know, and all that. But, you know, at least here in the valley here in Oregon, even when it does snow, it's gone within a day or two usually and then back to normal.
Yeah, that's the thing we got to hear. But I think last week I talked about us having a leak in the roof. They still haven't fixed that, so I'm hoping it doesn't do anything this weekend because they're supposed to come here on Monday, and if it's all wet, they ain't going to be able to do anything. So we got the bucket in place just in case it starts leaking. So.
Well, let's hope not.
Yeah.
Did you hear there's 5 people dead in Alaska, one of the southeast Alaska islands. 5 people are dead in a landslide.
So
rest in peace to them.
Yeah,
it's actually pretty close to my former co-host and host, Dahl Larson. She's on a different island, but still pretty close to where the landslide happened. So it's pretty close to home for her. It was pretty sad. Mm-hmm. And I've seen some pictures of it, and it's like, wow. Like, it really, like, took out the pretty big section of highway. And, yeah, that's going to be a mess. I'm going to try to find it here again, the article on it. I got to scroll a little bit to where I put it, but that way I can put a link in the chat room for anybody that wants to take a look at it. Where are you? I've posted, it's like, even though I just posted it earlier, it gets buried pretty quick. Where did it go? I'm forgetting the name of the town. Wrangell, Alaska.
Uh-huh.
Wrangell, Alaska. I heard that it was 5 dead, but 3 missing, so I think that the total has changed here. Because I did see a story about it, about a total of 5 people dying. Saw the latest on that.
I just looked through Western Journal, didn't see anything there. One of the headlines I found was 2 large bull moose found dead in U.S. Creek after furious final battle. But that's not in Alaska.
Yeah, that's important. Better report on that. Now, I put a link in the chat room reporting 3 killed, but I know I had a more updated, because it said 5. But that link has a good video showing how bad this landslide was.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness. So 3 deceased Alaskans are Timothy Heller, age 44, Beth Heller, 36, and Mara Heller, 16. 3 missing Alaskans, which I'm pretty sure 2 of those are among the dead in the updated version. Otto Florschutz, 65, Derek Heller, 12, and Kara Heller, 11. So that's a whole family. So Tim and Beth and their 3 kids, Mara, age 16, Derek, age 12, Kara, age 11.
Hmm.
That's really sad. That's really sad.
That's actually a better story than I was going to start with.
Man, I mean, you know, and Dahl had posted, like, the wind, you know, and it really was. It was like a hurricane going on or something, you know. It was all cyclical all around over her. She was posted where she was at. How bad the wind and rain was.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was really bad. So that's kind of a bummer to hear that. Hopefully they can clear things up, you know, but it really does. But looking at the pictures and the video, it's it's just like this whole area just washed away. It's nothing but mud and downed trees and just a mess.
Those are the kind of things that I've seen a lot of in Colorado, but there they usually it happens in areas where there isn't too many people at all. I've got 225-776. I know who that is, but I just can't place it right now. I brought him in.
Hi, this is Mike.
Mike, yes.
Hey there, Mike.
I don't see him in the chat room yet, but Boyd would be the person to ask about this,
yeah.
This whole situation that you're talking about. So depending on when he shows up, we can bring it to him and bring the story up to him when he shows up, you know. He'd know exactly where that is, you know. What happened, maybe what exactly happened and stuff. So, yeah, he'd know.
Yeah. That's for sure. Hopefully he was far enough out of it that he didn't have to worry about it.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that I had found before Lorianne brought this up was one thing that I had found off of Breitbart was from Kamala Harris, that idiot.
Knee pads.
How she flaunts her gas stove as Democrats contemplate total bans. And as Vice President Kamala Harris generated outrage and ridicule for posting an ex-Twitter a photo of her with her husband featuring what appears to be a gas stove as the Biden administration and Democrats across the nation seek to ban on the popular appliance. And her post on there simply read, "From our family to yours, happy Thanksgiving." I'd like to bash her in the face, I swear. why we keep voting these people in is beyond me.
You know what? This woman needs to stick to what she knows the best. That's dropping down on her knees and, well, you get the point.
Yep, and cackling while she does it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I
sure.
See the picture, and it's definitely a gas stove. So, hopefully. But you know, the problem with these people is that you know they'll. Tell the rest of us, oh, you got to get rid of all your gas stoves. You got to get rid of all your gasoline cars. And then they go and do exactly what they're telling us that we can't do. And there's never any consequences to that.
Oh, yeah. They go to these places, you know, they go to these climate conferences on private jets. And when they get to these places, they ride in, like, Ford Escalades, BMW SUVs, and all this stuff that guzzle gas, right? They're not EVs.
Yep.
They guzzle gas, and they're preaching to us about, you know, using a Buick or a Ford or you know, whatever type of car.
Yep.
And again, it's not, you may think it's hypocrisy. It's not hypocrisy. It's hierarchy. They're in power and you're not. It's basically the old do as I say and not as I do thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Absolutely.
That's it. That's
I heard
it.
A thing.
Yeah.
I'm looking on Newsmax right now. They had an article on Newsmax today about how CNBC or NBC or one of these are getting rid of their climate change desk. And I heard it on Rob. Oh, the I can't think of his name right at the moment. Just skip my mind. But he was talking about going through these things, seeing if I can find his name, but I can't. Friday. Let's see, Thursday. Salcedo was on his show. And he was talking about how they've suddenly decided to get rid of their climate desk. He said, which was the stupidest thing they could have in the first place. But he says, you got to stop and think about this. If they're getting rid of their climate desk and they're doing it on the weekend or during a holiday, so everybody's attention is somewhere else, what are they going to put in its place? And, you know, because they never pull something away that's a talking point of theirs unless they've got something to replace it with.
Right.
And it kind of worries me as to what could be coming, but something will be coming. So,
well, the problem with that, Robert, is, This is what, CNN or MSNBC?
I think I don't know. It may have been CNN.
It doesn't matter what they're replacing it with. The ratings say nobody's watching it. So nobody's watching it. Nobody's going to watch the new show. Just like nobody's watching the old show.
Yeah.
So
that's for sure.
They muddle along these news channels when things have changed. This isn't the early 2000s when the internet was, I don't want to say just getting started, but it wasn't what it is today. And this isn't that where CNN, MSNBC, Fox News and stuff like that were there, you know, and it's like, it's not that. I mean, you know, here's how the history of televised news started. The news started out on the radio, then it went to TV, then in the 70s and 80s it went to cable TV with, you know, CNN. And later on with Fox News and MSNBC, and now a lot of more people get their news, people from the internet than anything else. You know, that's just the way it is. You know, when you've got people, when you've got things like Real America's Voice and things of that nature that are there that do what they do. You know, the Blaze, and all kinds of other places like that that do what they do. Daily Wire is another one. You know, they do what they do, and it's like, why do we need to go to CNN and Fox News and all that stuff? Fox News is dying, just as bad as CNN is, just as bad as MSNBC is. They're all dying. The strongest channel, and I don't know if you guys have this on your cable systems where you are, but it's Newsmax.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I like that. That's one of my favorite channels right now is Newsmax, and I like One America News and America's Voice, mm-hmm. like you had said. And I get them all on my TV, which is really cool. But with Newsmax, they've had to change to a new format so that you have to pay for it. But I'm thinking about getting it anyway, so because it's well worth it to me anyway.
Well, the way it works down here, when a cable system decided to go to bring in Newsmax. They just upped the price $3, $4, $5, whatever it was, $10 of the subscription that we have.
Yeah.
So that's how they work it. I don't know how that those cable companies work it, but Cox Cable, which is one of the top 10 cable companies in the nation.
Yeah.
That's how they work it. Yeah.
Yeah. It kind of upset me a little bit when I found out that I was now getting Newsmax 2 instead of just Newsmax. And one of the things that bothers me about it is that I get, like this morning, I got Salcedo with his show, and I was listening to it, and all of a sudden it stopped him in mid-sentence, went to a commercial, and when it came back, it was Wendy Bell. So I was like, I'm not even getting the whole show anymore. So,
wow.
So
that's why I like, in the mornings and in the afternoons, I go to Real America's Voice and I get Bannon.
Yeah.
You know?
And that's a good one.
He is a real good one.
Because I get America's Voice on Pluto TV, so that's another one then. And I don't pay for any of my TV so far, but I'm going to have to if I want Newsmax.
You get that, you get ONN, Blaze Television, of them on Pluto TV. First News or whatever the heck it's called on that's where, what's his name, he used to be on Fox, O'Reilly.
Oh, Sean Hannity?
O'Reilly.
He's still on Fox, so. Oh, okay.
Bill O'Reilly.
Yeah. And I always kind of liked him, too, so.
Yeah. Wow.
So a little bit of breaking news that I just saw. Derek Chauvin, remember Derek Chauvin, convicted in George Floyd's killing?
Yeah.
He was stabbed in prison today.
Oh, no.
He was stabbed by another inmate and seriously injured Friday at a federal prison in Tucson, Arizona. The attack happened at the Federal Correctional Institution, Tucson, a medium security prison that has been plagued by security lapses and staffing shortages. The person was not authorized to publicly discuss details of the attack and spoke to the AP on the condition of anonymity. The Bureau of Prisons confirmed that an incarcerated person was assaulted at SCI Tucson at around 12:30 p.m. local time Friday. In a statement, the agency said responding employees contained the incident and performed life-saving measures before the inmate, who it did not name, was taken to a hospital for further treatment and evaluation. So that's pretty stupid. Chauvin is, that's a high-profile person and former police officer. You know they're going to be targeted. And so you send them to a medium security correctional institution that has security lapses and staffing shortages. It's like, come on now. Who wouldn't have predicted that this would happen?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You get yourself... There are just certain groups of people you don't put in prison in a place where they can't be protected. Cops, child molesters, you can't, you want to try and protect them a little bit. You put them in prison where they're in the general population, they'll get hurt.
Oh, crap. Hello?
Hello.
I thought I'm still on, right?
You're still on.
Okay, so yeah, I disagree with you about the whole not putting child molesters in general population. I'm sorry.
I think they should be.
They're evil people. Let the prisoners there are two things that you don't want to be in prison. You don't want to be a rat, and you don't want to be a child molester.
Yep.
Right. So put those – but Mark, but Derek Chauvin needs not to be in general population.
No. But they'll keep them there anyway because it's that's what they want. But I think I heard sometime last Friday, I think I mentioned this on my last show that and I haven't seen anything else about this one, but where his lawyers are looking to get a new trial because of evidence that had been withheld
mm-hmm.
that would have helped him. So they're trying to get a new trial, and I haven't seen anything else about that one anywhere. Of course, I wouldn't expect to see it in like the Times or anything else, but, you know, you'd think
well,
that...
Well, he's not, you know, he's not, he is not likely to get a new trial.
No.
Not likely, but possible. You know, it's possible, but not likely. The more likely thing is this is a federal prison. He's in federal prison.
Yeah.
That the first thing Trump does when he gets back in, one of the first things is he pardons Derek Chauvin.
Yeah.
If Derek Chauvin can survive. I mean,
yeah.
you're going to see them.
I did
this
pull
this
up an article from the 14th. Talking about his attempt to get it overturned. And a motion filed in federal court on Monday, which, again, this article is from the 14th, so this would have been the 13th. Chauvin said he never would have pled guilty to the charge in 2021 if he had known about the theories of a Kansas pathologist with whom he began corresponding in February. Chauvin is asking the judge who presided over his trial to throw out his conviction and order a new trial or at least an evidentiary hearing. Let's see. He filed the request without a lawyer. He says Dr. William Schetzel of Topeka, Kansas, told him that he believes Floyd did not die from asphyxia from Chauvin's actions, but from complications of a rare tumor called a paraganglioma that caused a fatal surge of adrenaline. The pathologist did not examine Floyd's body, but reviewed autopsy reports. So sounds like that's the story there. I can put the link to that in the comment.
Okay, well, I just brought in
the chat room,
the Skype number. Whether it's Sarge
yeah.
or...
No, that's not up.
No.
But no, if you travel the country
it's
and talk nice. To everybody on death
hey,
row,
Nash.
Hey, not only will you find that they... Not only, what's up, y'all? Well, you find that they have a quack expert who's telling them that they can get them off, but they're going to, you know, they're going to use all their pills, and you should, hell. You should be able to use as many pills as you want, even if you're guilty of sin. You should be able to use as many pills as legally possible, and I don't knock anybody for trying it. But, yeah, that dude was done. Like, that, there was no question that wasn't going to go his way. Now, as far as him being in there, he could have chose protective custody. He could have chosen a way to protect himself. But I don't think he wanted to live that for the rest of whatever time he was going to serve as, you know, because it would almost be like solitary for him because he would have been so isolated. So I guess he decided, you know, he's going to go out there and take the chance. And, of course, somebody eventually got to him. But I feel no remorse for that dude. He's a terrible dude.
Well,
you know, I think of it this way, though, guys. I still say this. I still say if he's – because this whole situation about him trying – somebody stabbing him, maybe trying to kill him in jail, This isn't going to be the first attempt to do this. If his appeals fail, this isn't going to be the first attempt at doing this, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, he's going to be in danger no matter what unless he tells them he wants to be in protective custody and,
right.
I guess, what, lockdown?
And I'll say this again.
Well,
if
I guess after
survive,
being stabbed today, I'm sure it'll be pretty much, you know, like mandatory protective custody, you know, once he's out from, you know, he's still recovering and everything right now from being stabbed, but once he gets back in there, it'll probably be mandatory for at least a little while, since he's already been stabbed, one would think.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
But he's got a long sentence, man, so, you know.
Stupid not to.
But what I said earlier, now still stands. This is he's in a federal prison, and this guy can be pardoned by a president. So, you know.
I hate to tell you guys this, because I know you guys.
Can you imagine?
You know,
oh my God! Can you imagine Biden pardoning him?
Yeah,
no, that won't happen.
That would never happen.
It's not going to be Biden.
Well,
Biden doesn't even know.
Yeah, of course Biden can't do it. His constituents would go crazy and not support him, so he can't do it. But Trump wouldn't do it either. You know why? Because Chauvin's not worth the political capital and backlash he would lose in the gains he's made outside of the normal Republican base. That little 12% sliver of black men and Asian men who come over as not Republicans but Trump supporters, you think he'd go piss them off? And waste them away for show, man. Trump's not gonna do that either, man. He's not stupid.
There's a possibility he might, but we'll agree to disagree on this, Nas, because I think there's a possibility he might. Possibility
now you know, y'all know I don't like Trump, but sometimes people underestimate him as kind of a calculating guy and thinking through things. He's giving up too much and not getting enough by doing that. Think about
look,
the people who he makes happy.
Right,
he already has their vote. You see what I'm saying?
Right. You're right about that, Ivan. Think about this. I've talked about the polls in other different places, and I don't care if you say, you know, these polls that say 25% of African-American men or the African-American vote is going to go to Trump. It doesn't matter if Trump gets even 15% of that, 15% of that vote. It's done, you know?
Yeah, but it's still a small sliver, and you don't want to risk it. But the bigger conversation with this is going to be this situation with Israel that has made all those young kids mad. The young kids who showed up for Biden last time, they stay home because more than likely they're not going to go for Trump. But if they just stay home,
nope.
Biden loses. There's no way for him to win if those kids don't come out for him. So this situation in Israel has really hurt Biden bad.
Yeah, but I don't think he cares because he's going to run anyway. They're trying like hell to get his ass out.
Now, I said that, and everybody called me crazy for saying it. So, you know, when I say stuff like that, I'm just talking-ish, you know what I mean? But I can see a point where they say he has to go away for exhaustion and then get another candidate. If this thing keeps going away, they might have to.
I mean, look, I've said this before, though, in different places, that they've tried being nice to him, asking him to step aside. He basically pissed in their faces by saying, I'm running, right? They may or may not have enough money to buy him. All right. So that's another thing. Another way they could, you know, just flat out buy him out, right? And they may not have the money to do that. And three, you know, I mean, look, this guy, the other way is to have a broker convention. All right. Try to take it away from him at the convention.
Yeah, the money in the Dem party is not gonna let something like that happen. If they want him,
you know,
to
it's
sit
getting
down,
bad for Biden
down.
When even Saturday Night Live is making fun of him. I don't know if you've seen it, but you know, I had to laugh. Like, I hadn't tuned in for the longest time to Saturday Night Live, and you know, they were totally making fun of Biden, and I was like, whoa. Biden is finally touchable.
Yeah, think about this, though. We've seen, this is the last two presidents. Last two presidents basically lost huge chunks of favorability based on things that were outside of their control, and they just tried to manage it after. So during the Trump administration, we had COVID, which was probably the unluckiest roll of the dice any president could ever get. And then we get Biden, and we get the situation in Israel, where Biden, of course, hey, man, you know the game. They got to send the money over there. They got to get them to buy weapons. They got to do all the stuff that they do. So they want to keep the relationship. But Israel, the things they're saying on the news and people watching social media and seeing the kids and the bombing and all of that, like, man, that's – I don't know what movie can make at this point. So, yeah, this is looking bad for him.
And some people think that the guy that's going to be there for them is a fucking skinny pants there out in California. But I don't, the way that state's being run and going down the drain at light speed, how is that guy going to be up for president?
Yeah. Exactly. What claim to fame does Newsom really have when he's coming out of the state of California that's been going to shit? Other than when, you know, Z went to visit, then they finally cleaned up San Francisco pretty quickly. I'm wondering how soon it'll go back to the state that it was in. But, you know, when it's just like, you know, oh, hey, we're having company over. We better clean the house. That's pretty much what California did.
That's the same thing
down
the border.
We've always done that. Yeah, we've always done that. It's easy to do. Go back to Atlanta with the Olympics when they were giving homeless people bus tickets out of town and painting over stuff downtown and all of that. Like, we've always been able to put on a show for a visit. Now, the problem is you can't sustain that. So after a couple of days, you know, it goes back to the norm because you still got the housing problem that you had before. I don't think Gavin Newsom is that powerful as an orator, as a speaker, but he can get up there and talk about the Californian economy. He can always do that. You know, they can tout how much money and how big of an economic engine it is and all that stuff. But they won't talk about how, you know, people had to move because they couldn't afford to live there anymore. It's just so expensive. But, I mean, that's the game he would run. But I don't know. It's hard to say, like, he would be the front runner anyway. Who knows who they'd pull out?
I mean, and Gerald, think about this with these polling things that talk about, I mean, not Joe Nas, these polling things that talk about how high Trump is in, you know, the various minority communities, right? And it's like, is he gonna wanna pardon this guy? You know. Then again, this is Trump's last election. Once he gets elected, all bets are off. If he gets elected, all bets are off. So, pardoning Chauvin, all bets are off after he gets elected. So it still could happen. But yeah, he has a pretty sizable chunk of all these minority.
Chunk. It's just bigger than a Republican would normally get. And I'll just put this in story form for you. If you're in a bar and the toughest guy in the bar happens to slap your wife on the ass, of course, you two are going to have a fight, right? Now, let's say you're in that same bar, and it's a woman you just met whose phone number you don't even have yet, and you're not even familiar with.
Mm-hmm.
Are you going to take on that fight for her? Don't jump in and beat that guy. So that Derek Chauvin thing, I just don't see where he wins by doing that. The people who like Derek Chauvin and think that he's not a murdering, power-abusing, raggedy MF-er, the people who like him, they're going to vote for Trump anyway. So what does he gain by taking that risk?
Yeah.
No, he really doesn't gain too much of anything.
And look, right now, if you judge now, I mean, maybe you can't judge how every black community is, but he's basically a hero to these people, at least in the Atlanta area, because they're dealing with the heavy-handedness of Fannie Willis, you know, all day in and day out. You know, and it's like they know how bad she is. They know how bad that sheriff is over there. I mean,
I think you're doing a lot of projecting based on a video of a motorcade going down the street and people going outside cheering, brother. Like, come on, brother. You've seen a presidential motorcade in almost any city in America. People are coming outside to see it. Like, come on, man. I wouldn't go that far.
Okay. We'll see, but yeah, we'll see. We'll see what. I mean, like I said, it doesn't have to be that high. I mean, generally speaking, the Democrats will get 95% to 98% of the African American vote. That's generally what happens, right?
Yep.
You know, and so if Trump gets 15%, that's huge. You know,
fifteen is a wish, maybe. 15, everything is great for him. More than likely, we're talking 10 to 12. That's probably more realistic. But you got to think about this in terms of states. So think about Michigan as a battleground state. What's in Michigan? Dearborn, Michigan, Detroit, Michigan, a huge Arab population, a lot of young people who are seeing what they're seeing on TV, and they voted for Biden. Guess what happens now? After what they just saw. You see, that's the type of thing that probably means more, because then you're talking about losing a state like Michigan. And you remember, 2016, Trump barely squeaked by in Michigan because what? A lot of people did not show up to vote for Hillary because they decided they didn't like Trump, but they didn't like Hillary either, so they stayed home. So you flip one of those battleground states like that, man.
Here's another battleground state. Let this be a red letter day in BTR when I, again, agree with Naj. Not politically, of course.
What's up,
Joe? Who are we talking to?
But with regards to relationships, as Lorianne knows, that was going to be one of the topics that I might have presented on my show, in which should a man protect and provide for a woman that he doesn't know? Now, in the example that Naj brought up, if a man slaps his wife on the ass, the man's going to get into a fight. Not necessarily, but most of the time, yes. But should he, if he's trying to pick up some girl, gets a number, and a guy slaps her on the ass, should he risk his ass for hers? I say absolutely not. So the worst thing is that I agree with him. That's the worst thing.
Oh, we got another Skype number in there, and I just brought them in.
Don't you come in and start no trouble, Sarge.
Oh, he did a guess at that, and I'm guessing he guessed right. Sarge?
No, it's not him. Oh, okay.
Oh. Wow. But yeah, this is Joe, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Montana
you
Joe.
Might be right, but again,
which, by the way, hello.
Lorianne, you're there.
Had a good Thanksgiving.
Thank you
I
for the
here.
Text and the well wishes. Yes.
I wanted to keep you guessing.
Well, you didn't join in right away, so I didn't know if you were there getting a snack or, you know, helping Bob out inside the description page or anything like that. So, how is everybody? Bob and Naj and I don't know what the caller's name is. Mike, I believe. But how are
Mike,
you guys?
Yeah,
happy Thanksgiving.
Oh, we're doing good
happy
so far. Had a good Thanksgiving.
Good.
That's cool.
So far, so good.
Good.
We're still
so
alive.
Maybe,
still kicking. I didn't spend any money on Black Friday. I didn't spend money I don't have.
Well, that's what I was about to say, you know.
If
you don't have it, you're not going to spend it.
That's true.
But next month, if I open up a show and Lorianne and I decide on that particular topic, I would like Naj to show up because there are going to be a lot of people who will disagree with him. There will be people who will be the white knight, and they will say, no, you've affiliated yourself, associated yourself, gotten near this particular woman. Now you owe her your white knight hat of protecting and providing in case some man comes along and does something like that, even if she provoked it. So Naj and I are on the same page as that, and that would be nice to have some, you know, other people versus Naj on that topic and myself.
I'd like to have Naj come into my show once in a while, too. I miss having him on my show.
Yeah, I'm not fully committed to that analogy. I'm just using that just to show, like, people aren't going to risk much in situations that they're really not pot committed to. You know what I mean? You start paying somebody's power bills and grocery bills. And
yeah,
like,
but at the same time, Naj, your
premise was...
Then
you have a little bit more of an investment.
Yeah, your premise was, okay, you don't have much of an investment, but... In a lot of bars, if a guy does pick up a number or attempts to pick up a number, now he feels that he has to protect and provide if some old boyfriend or some drunk or some guy who just comes along and sees her, starts talking to her, and all of a sudden she gets agitated and maybe touches her on the shoulder, or if he's an asshole, he really slaps her on the knee or on the ass, that he is he's compelled to protect her. And I say no.
Oh, yeah.
I say...
Yeah,
you know, I say no.
A lot of fights in that situation.
Sure. I say get her out of there, move her out, move her butt out, and protect yourself. You don't have to risk your butt for somebody you don't even know. If there's other ways, if you can move, if the women can say the man can move in a situation where a girl is confronting him, or if he's being confronted by a guy, and then he can grab the girl and move both he and she out of the situation as well. You don't have to fight over somebody that is going to look at you and go, ah, drama, I love it.
Yeah, the drama addict. Mm-hmm. And I like what you had to say, too, about women that instigate it, because sometimes they will. You know, there's the drama addict women, you know, some of them do. They kind of want to entice some guy to treat appropriately, like smack him on the ass or whatever, you know, and she's on a date because, you know, she wants to see what the guy will do, you know, that she's with.
You know what?
You know, is he going to defend her and all this kind
of
stuff, you know?
A lot of dead guys fought for somebody's honor in a bar or a tavern. That's definitely true.
Not even that, Naj. I'll tell you, because she's right. I mean, you probably the hot chick from IT. You may not have done it in your 20s or early 30s. But I was on two dates where women, I don't know if they knew they were doing it or not, but they could have instigated fights if I allowed them to continue talking. But I said, quiet, quiet.
I'm about to take up the challenge of Brother Naj there, since I was just listening, but he admonished me not to come in and start no trouble. So now I'm determined to come in and start some trouble. And with that in mind, I have some breaking news for y'all. Some of whom I suspect are going to be very discomforted about what I'm about to say.
Oh, boy.
Number one is, by the way, I don't really mean to break up no floor. I mean, y'all ain't really covering nothing in particular, are you? Because I think this news I got was rather significant.
Nope, we're just kind of covering what we come up with.
Oh, excellent. Well,
easy to breathe, yep.
First of all, excellent. First of all, we now have, in addition to the 152,000 suspect missing ballots that were ordered to be retained by Fulton County officials for examination by the court in that criminal election fraud case in Fulton County, in addition to them all of a sudden coming up, quote, missing, unquote, we've also got 3,000 ballots which were certified as being illegally cast by Fulton County. We got that one, too. Now we got another one just came in on the heels of that one. There was a risk-limiting audit that was carried out by the Georgia Secretary of State's office. Now, this, allegedly, this confirmed the 2020 election results. But they have now discovered, thanks to an election integrity advocate, a Georgian named Joseph Rossi, and now the authorities are confirming it, so it ain't just a conspiracy theory. 36 errors were found in the Fulton County data in the risk-limiting audit carried out by the Secretary of State. Now, get this. As a result of Rossi's work, the Georgia State Elections Board has started an investigation in the Fulton County data from the risk-limiting audit report. And the State Election Board identified violations and errors in the recount of the 2020 election in Fulton County. In other words, it wasn't accurate. Now, that's according to the State Election Board. Now, again, we've got all of this stuff coming up all at once. Your mainstream press ain't touching it. They don't want you to know about none of this. It's just the facts. Not opinion about it, just the facts of what is now being revealed. And another little hot tidbit for your perusal. Guess who just got shanked in the Federal Correction Institute in Colorado?
Yeah,
Eric Chauvin.
Oh, somebody
all of a sudden now,
that was in Arizona.
Yeah, somebody shanked him. Yeah, somebody shanked him in Arizona.
Earlier in Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, somebody shanked him. Guess what? Now all this movement's coming out about all the bullshit and the judicial misconduct. And again, it doesn't matter if he's guilty or not. When you got this level of judicial misconduct in any criminal trial, it's automatic grounds for either a new trial or dismissal of charges against the defendant. It almost always is. They're trying to avoid this because they don't want to deal with it, and they got no guts, and they're afraid of rioting again. So here's the thing about it. It's all going to come out. It's all coming out. You know, it doesn't matter what the narrative has been. It doesn't matter about these performative, hysterical little drama shows by all those idiot demon rats like that fool mayor they got up there named Jacob Fry, who boo-hooed and cried at St. George Floyd's coffin, and old Nancy Pelosi with her decrepit ass couldn't even get up off her knees when she kneeled in the rotunda of the Capitol building, and all the other stupid, performative, idiotic performances by all these people. The truth of this matter is going to come out. It's going to come out. And then they're going to try to explain away why they allowed this to happen and why they allowed the country to be thrown into tumult, chaos, and disorder based on a lie about a thug who, I'm not going to say he got what was coming to him, but it was inevitable given his lifestyle and the way he behaved. God, United States
right.
In 2023, just a lunatic asylum.
And what we were talking about earlier, Sarge, about what might or might not happen if Trump gets in there or not gets in, if he possibly gets in there again, and all this stuff is happening with the information that's coming out, which Trump will have, and this is a federal prison that they shanked this guy in. Trump could actually come in there, pardon the guy, and it's all done. You know, people say, well, Nas says, well, Trump is not going to do that. It would hurt him. Now, already elected. How's it going to hurt him if he's already elected?
Well, Vince, look, the only thing Trump could pardon him for is the federal offenses he can do. Remember, he's serving the concurrent sentences on both the state and federal charges in the federal pen. The only thing that Trump could pardon him for is the federal offenses. The state of Minnesota would have to issue either a commutation or pardon for the state offenses. Trump has no jurisdiction whatsoever over that. So, you know, but right. I would hope that if the pressure shows all of the errors of judicial misconduct, in this case, particularly that of the judge, disallowing certain aspects of the defense, of the Minnesota police chief, that Aaron Dondo guy, literally perjuring himself under oath when he denied any knowledge of the maximum restraint technique that is taught to Minneapolis police officers, that in the first week this thing happened, I myself went to the City of Minnesota website and I looked up their use of force policies and I found their use of force regulations on the maximum restraint technique and the fact that an officer could not do it unless he'd been certified in it. And subsequent to that, I found out that Derek Chauvin had been certified in the technique according to their guidelines. And in addition to that, they scrubbed from their website a photograph showing the proper placement of the knee on the back and shoulder blade of a suspect being restrained under the maximum restraint technique, giving in great specificity how you're supposed to place your knee and how you're supposed to keep it and what you do if there's any distress. Remember, they called EMS 36 seconds after he became non-responsive. That's all verified by the videos, the officer cams, everything else. 36 seconds after he was non-responsive, they called EMS. EMS dispatched the ambulance to the wrong location. That's why it took them 20 minutes to get there, and they were only 8 blocks away because they went to the wrong place. Anyway, the photograph shows clearly what the proper technique is, and this police chief perjured himself, I know, unless he's so oblivious and so unknowing of his own department. I'm going to keep going to counter all of the lies that your side keeps telling all the time. Your side lies about this. There is so much to cover about this. I'm really cutting it short. I'm not beginning to cover everything that was done wrong in this case. This case is a goddamn disgrace.
Son, you got the worst.
I'm only beginning to get there, Nosh. I'm only beginning. Look, hey, and everything I'm saying is corroborable. Everything. And remember, in the first week, matter of fact, right here on Blog Talk, the week this thing happened, I spoke to people that technique that gave. How long were you talking? Did you time yourself? Because I did.
Yeah, I did.
So again, you were talking quite a while. So you didn't say as much as I got to say, though. In a relatively short period of time, I've been talking.
You
ain't got as much good information
either.
As I got.
You're not letting him say anything.
Man.
I noticed that because it hurts. You know, a hurt dog yelps when you throw a rock in a pack.
Man,
but anyway, I'm just saying. I know it is. I know it is. This is terrible too. We've had this country riven, torn apart by this fraud, by this hoax, by this cultural Marxist demagogic stormtrooper extortion on the country and on law enforcement, and somebody needs to say something about it.
You know what this sounds like to me? This sounds like a nice challenge for
it. And he was stabbed in jail, and it's a sad thing. The murderer
went
to jail and was stabbed in jail. It's a sad thing that happened to anybody, but things happen. But, again,
they lied to you, Naj. They lied.
The internet is not the same as everybody else.
They lied. They lied.
We know. When Sarge...
No, you don't know, and you won't admit it if you did.
Gentlemen, and both
when
of you are,
goes online, his internet,
regardless of some opinion,
just gives him whatever
both
he wants.
Sarge,
you're right. Sarge, you're right on this.
And can I interject for a second? No, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just
saying.
We just heard
this.
See,
on me. This is what I mean.
Gentlemen,
he's
starting
again. He's not. You know, it's one thing.
I'd like to say something for both of you. All right, I'm just talking and interfere.
He's scoffing.
Here is what I'd like to say. Okay, both of you want to continue. All right. I get, unless I'm on mute, I don't think I am. What I
well, you didn't respond.
I
just
think this is a nice challenge for both of you to absolutely
I'm
have the
I'm hovering over the mute button, Sarge.
Okay. So, unfortunately, here, both of you, please have a debate about any topic that you would like. It would be one of the better debates on BTR ever.
Yep.
How's that?
Well, Naj just dropped.
I love it.
Oh, Naj dropped? Oh.
Naj just dropped.
He might go back.
He's shouted over.
Uh-oh.
I don't blame him.
Uh-oh.
Well, yeah, Sarge, I know you're up for the debate. Naj is always up for the debate. I would like to be the moderator to make sure that both of you keep right track.
Joe, but like I said, reason he took off because all he can do is scoff. He cannot refute what I say. He just scoffs at it.
Then it will be
that's
found
what's maddening to me. When somebody
you wouldn't allow him to, though. That's the thing. That every time he started
because
the
that's all he was
going to
do. That's all he was going to do.
Then let then he will do that, and he will show it. You will show your corroborative evidence. He will show his art at sophistry. It will be a very interesting debate because a lot of times sophistry does influence people more than just plain facts. But the way that you present your facts might be so overwhelming, it could be a great influencer. I want to be the moderator again to keep both of you on track because you and Naj have been at each other's throats, although friendly. You know, it's a friendly rivalry for a long time, and I'd like to be that.
Well, I tell you, whenever I know there are rules, I stick to them. And, when something's set up in the rules, I stick to rules when it's kind of freewheeling. And especially when my interlocutor is non-responsive and dismissive, it gets me a little irritated. Because I don't do that. I respond to whatever they say, even if I don't agree with it.
I know. And you'll show your style and Naj will show his style, and everybody will be informed and entertained. But it hasn't been. I would like to have that done on any topic that both of you choose, and that would be good.
Hey, man, I tell you, it would be good if you like to stick to the subject, because I swear, you'll read the Hennepin County Medical Examiner's autopsy report, autopsy number 20-3700, done on, get this now, a day after the incident. That's almost unheard of. It was done the day after the incident. And then the FBI got involved with it the day after, 2 days after the incident, the FBI got involved overseeing it. 2 days.
Well, again,
I'm telling you, man, this thing is so funky.
Mm-hmm. You're the one that will be.
But you
ought to
see the autopsy report, man. The guy had 75% arterial occlusion, for God's sake. 75%. He had 11 nanograms of fentanyl per milliliter in his bloodstream and a 3 nanograms per milliliter in his bloodstream is considered fatal. He had over 300% more than the normal fatal dose in addition to the methamphetamines and all the other opioids he had in the system at the same time with a hideously compromised cardiovascular system. It's unbelievable what they got away with.
Sarge, when Naj calls back in, he will eventually, and he will be on other shows in which you'll be on. I will make the proposal to both of you again, and I would like to have it, but I'm sure Bob and Lorianne and Mike and everybody else who's a regular or semi-regular in Bob's show and on the regular circuit will be glad to show up. Okay? So I'm...
Well, I'll put the challenge out there. We want to deal with the George Floyd situation. Let him go for it. Let him make his own errors about 16, 19, or 400 years, or whatever it is he wants to talk about. I'm going to stick with the judicial misconduct that was hideous in this case and all the other things. Beyond belief. And they got away with it. And changed the country as a result.
But it's going to be facts and logic versus an expert at sophistry. That's the interesting part about it. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's going to
be
interesting part about it.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
And,
that'd
like,
be interesting.
You know, Sarge, man, I love you, Sarge, but, the screaming over other people you know, that part needs to get reined in, to be perfectly honest with you. I love listening to you, but I also like listening to other people's opinions and the back and forth. But, you know, when you're screaming over somebody trying to talk, that's the part that doesn't make for very good radio, I'm just going to say. And I know that that's what you're used to. You have one of those voices that carry, you know, you're Sarge, you know, military, you're barking orders, stuff like that. And it's like, you know, it's instinctual for you.
I'm sorry, Lorianne. Okay, let me agree with you to a point. The reason why Sarge does that is because you haven't been on BTR as long as he has and I have. Anytime he goes on a show and he starts representing facts, they don't allow him to talk. They either mute him or somebody, or they allow somebody else to come in. And it's not the barking of orders as much as the protection of his own particular ideals. So it's not just that. That's why I say, let me be the moderator. We won't have that. Sarge doesn't do that in order to interrupt, but in order to protect his own speech. And you're right about once that particular habit happens, then if the other person doesn't respond, it doesn't become a screaming match. But it's done almost out of necessity, if not necessity, because you just haven't been around, baby, when not only him but other people like myself.
I think Joe fairly accurately summed up the situation. My experience on BTR is one of a continual suppression of my attempt to speak because they know I come better prepared than most anybody else they deal with, and they can't respond. So this is what they do. They do like with Nas. They're simply dismissive, non-responsive, and then they say that I'm taking too long. If you see, Nas is speaking for twice as long as I was. Twice as long. Nobody interrupted him. Then he comes in and interrupts me, saying I'm speaking too long. This is the trick they do.
And most of the time, Nas is also pretty succinct unless you really do let them talk. So that's why it would also be a good debate, because both of these gentlemen would be restricted to 2 to 3 minutes apiece, and they will make their arguments within 2 to 3 minutes apiece. And I think people here have said, they would come to that particular show. And I think we need it, because both of you have been at each other's, I wouldn't say throats, because, again, it's a friendly rivalry for a long time, and we need to actually clear the air so that everybody on both sides of the situation, the sophists versus the logics, although there's not such a word as logic, will get a chance to have their representatives speak for them. And I myself want to be the moderator. I don't want anybody else to be the moderator, because then, in my opinion, everything would just go off track.
You'd be the better moderator. You know, I couldn't do it because
Joe is very good at keeping all the parties on track. He's very good at doing that. He would keep both of us reined in. And by the way, that's where I function best. Believe me. The only reason I do it is because I know how these people work. People will pose to me in the way they work. But believe me, when I know, it's like in a boxing match, when I used to box. As long as I know the other guy got to play by the rules because the referee is keeping him in line, I'm okay. I ain't worried about nothing. If he bites my ear, I know he's going to get points taken away from me.
Yep.
Yeah, Montana Joe makes a good referee, and I try to. But, you know, like I said, Sarge, I love you to death, but it's even happened on my show where – me being the host, I'm trying to get a word in, you know, and you know, it's like, okay, come on, like, you know, you're just like screaming over everybody, and that's the part that doesn't make for good radio, when not even the host can get in and go, hey, let me comment on something, let me, you know, try to take the reins back, and so, you know, keeping things at a conversational level is what is really needed, because, you know, when one person is screaming and other people are trying to say things, including myself, you know, we're drowned out, you know, and then it just becomes chaos.
Yep. Well, you know,
and that happens with anybody, not just you.
Yeah, Joe, if you want
to. Yeah, well, that's not completely inaccurate, and I'll agree with you on I do that occasionally from time to time. But I'd like to know, tonight was a classic example of misdirection.
And you did take the reins, Sarge, and you want to let people know about the facts. But at the same time, Lorianne is, as you're saying, not quite inaccurate. She is, but I also understand why. It's not out of disrespect for the other person. It's not out of just trying to dominate the show or dominate the particular speech at that particular time. I know why that happens, because I've been there. Lorianne, I'm sorry, Bob.
I just want to say something. You talked about earlier the election and all this stuff that's going on around it, the election of 2020. What about this other judge, this female judge, this Democrat judge that is looking at the machines, the internal working of the machines, that people think that that particular case is huge because if she finds that, which probably is, there's problems with the programming and all kinds of other stuff with the machines, that's going to allow the Georgia legislature to bring it up and possibly get rid of these machines, you know?
Yeah.
So
can I?
I just
want to say this very briefly. Michael, you brought up something in my undiagnosed ADD. Let me say this very quickly. Sarge and I were on Sally's show about 2 weeks ago, and they had a very good guest on. Sarge, did you go to that website? I did. I was not impressed with what the website said. It looked just like another movement, another organization that was trying to show people that corruption can be overcome. The woman named Molly did a very good job in explaining what they could do in order to overcome the election fraud in general. And Lorianne, I sent you a link to that show, and I gave you the name of the website. I forget the name of it now. That would also be pretty good for us to know how to reform the elections without doing it the normal way or the way that Giuliani are going through. And I'll expound on that later. I'm sorry, Mike, to cut on your time. Go ahead.
Right, but what I was talking about just now was this one female Democrat judge, and this is a Democrat judge. She's a Democrat. But apparently, from what I understand, I live here in Louisiana, but apparently from what I understand, she's a Democrat, but she's fair. All right. She's going to be fair in this thing and look at the evidence, whatever evidence is there that proves that these machines either malfunctioned or were something had happened to them that made them switch votes or do whatever that they did in that situation. So, yeah, and basically what they're saying they did is basically what Mike Lindell has been saying that these machines have been doing.
Oh, well, yeah. Look, when Dominion comes out with a $9 billion lawsuit, a lot of people have to cower. But, Sarge, did you go to that site? What was your opinion? And before I forget, I'm sorry.
I pretty much agreed with most of what you said. I don't think they broke any new ground, but I think that probably a sincere effort to have these issues examined. And another thing about that judge that my man just referred to, she said that the people who were raising concerns about the machines had every reason to raise them, and they were justified in the beliefs that some shenanigans might be afoot, and they could not be characterized as simply paranoid or conspiratorial. She specifically said that, and I was surprised to hear her make an almost editorial comment like that.
Certainly as a Democrat judge, too.
We were talking earlier about something that what happened in Alaska, and Boyd has just raised his hand, and we thought we were talking about how he'd be good, since he lives in Alaska, to let us know what had happened up there, and I just brought him in. Hello, Boyd.
Hey,
what are we talking about?
we're talking about you right now. About
the landslide that happened there in, what's the name of it?
Rengel.
Yeah, in southeast Alaska. Killed an entire family. The mother, the father, let's see, the agency identified three confirmed fatalities, Timothy Heller, his wife, Beth Heller, their 16-year-old daughter, Mara, and their younger two children are still among the missing and presumed dead, Derek and Kara, age 12 and 11. And then also a third missing person, presumed dead, 65-year-old Otto Florschitz and his wife, Christina, were found alive but injured on Tuesday morning. Sorry. So they were, but let's see. There are three individuals listed as missing and were presumed dead. The Heller's home stood between the edge of the highway and the shoreline. And so it sounds like they were like in their house, you know, and this whole landslide happened. And if you look at the pictures of it, it's like, wow, you know, it's just, it's nothing but mud and just wiped out a big section of area. And, after the huge storm there. And I know that from Dahl, we were talking earlier, it's like, so it was almost like a hurricane, you know, that was going on there. And Dahl lives on Prince of Wales Island. And that's only like a couple islands away from where this landslide happened. And the storm surge and everything where she was at was really bad. And so, I did put a link to the story. So it's really sad, you know, just an entire family just wiped out by this thing.
Yeah. Yeah, it's pretty sad. But,
yeah,
you know, that shit happened.
She mentioned you'd be good since you lived up there.
unless you're not going to present anything right now, I'd like to ask Bob and Lorianne to do me a favor. Bob and Lorianne, I sent Lorianne the link to Marjorie Taylor Greene, who was on the Blog Talk Radio show. And Bob, if you'd like to have Marjorie Taylor Greene on your show, she's probably amenable to that. And if you two guys could also get back what Sally had as the guest, that Molly O'Malley of that particular website, mm-hmm. I think a lot of people would be interested in finding out her use of civil rights as a means and a weapon to get the election overturned by using a different approach than what Giuliani had done. Excuse me. So, and I don't, you know, I don't have a regular show, and I don't have guests on my show. My show's only an hour. So I was hoping maybe you guys would do that if you had the time.
I don't
know if Marjorie Taylor Greene would want to show up on a Lucid Libertarian show.
Why wouldn't she?
You never know.
Well, Lorianne,
yeah,
you just
she's more,
you would
know,
just you would just you
more
would just have
forever
to,
Trumper.
You would just have to mute everybody.
I don't know why I have to do that. You know,
well, when I do have a guest on, I actually do like the first the first half of the show usually is dedicated one-on-one with that person before I bring anybody in. That's usually how I operate when I have a guest on.
Oh, no. Tell the truth. Hey, tell the truth. I don't give a shit if you assign 20 minutes or 30 minutes to the guest. You have a three-hour show, and that freaking guest takes up all goddamn 3 hours, and you only let the guest in the last half hour because you don't let the guest go, and the guest doesn't want to go. So don't talk about, oh, I got 30 minutes, 20 minutes to sign to her. Like, people are going to show up. They're not going to have a chance to call in.
That's how it works, yes.
Jesus, oh, sometimes. Yeah, sometimes. The guest keeps on talking. She doesn't even know. I'm not talking about you. The guest doesn't even know they're going to stay there for 2 days.
Well, I can try.
2 days.
That'd be no problem.
For an hour,
they
stay on for all three. Yeah, that's happened.
It's an interesting show, but forget about, you know, oh, see, hurry up, guys, and get in and get your questions in, because the guest will only be there for half an hour.
There was another question in the chat room when you guys were talking about getting Marjorie Taylor Greene on either, you know, my show or Ron says, well, what about Crazy Nation Radio?
Oh, God, no. No, Ron, forget about
that
shit. That
would be appropriate.
Oh, yeah. No, it wouldn't.
That's going to happen, Cap'n.
No, that's not. No, no.
Well, I could try and I could write her and send her an invitation to come on here and give her the number so she can if she wants.
Well, she's already been on one BTR show. So, I mean, if she's already taken the step to go on one BTR show, she probably would be more inclined to go on the, you know, one or two more. And I don't see why she wouldn't show up in the Loser Libertarian.
If I had her on my show, I would grill her about the Biden impeachment stuff. Because, you know, that's what I would want to ask her about more. Because, you know, things like Trump charges. Really talking about the Biden impeachment hearings and the progress that's being made. And there is progress being made, but nobody's talking about it.
Yeah, but let's not use the word.
I would also talk about the whole thing about her wanting to kick out Rashida Tlaib.
Yeah. But let's not confuse the word grill with interview. You don't grill, Lorianne. You interview. You might ask questions, but you'll do it in a way that will not offend the guest. When I grill, there's a very strong possibility.
That is true. That is true.
Yeah,
I like to make them feel welcome. Like,
that's right.
You know, I didn't set a trap for them by having them on my show. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Now, if I was to do it, it would be a grilling, and I would warn people in advance of a grilling.
Yeah.
Because the grilling has obnoxious characteristics to it. You don't do that when you interview. Nobody here does that. Except me. And I do it for a reason.
Well, that's exactly why, like, if I did have her on my show, then she'd be willing to come back again at some point. Because, you know, I'll ask her questions and let her respond and have dialogue, but not, like, get all, you know.
But, yeah,
like,
of course.
Entrapment and bitchy, you know, and kind of, like, trying to trigger her and that kind of thing. You know, and I think that's what, you know, a lot of times what the guests are used to. They're used to somebody trying to trigger them, you know, and I don't. And then they don't really know what to do with that. And then they come back a second time because they're like, hey, you know, this is kind of cool.
I disagree with you.
We were just talking.
Yeah.
Well, I disagree with you on that.
I think most guests are used to having the host accommodate them. That's what pisses me off. Because that's why when I've gone on other shows and I've had these potential candidates, for example, and they let them get away with whatever statement they make. And I don't like that. So that's why I grill, because unless the guest has a nice thick skin, then it's not a problem. If the guest is honest, then it's not a problem. But if the guest is going to go along with the normal, well, I'm here to make a change, but don't worry about the money underneath the table. You'll never see it once I get into office. Wink, wink. Nah, bullshit. You know? So it becomes antagonistic because they have something to hide. If they have nothing to hide, then the grilling doesn't really occur. The grilling only becomes an interview that is more on pressing issues, getting down to the nitty-gritty. But if they try to get evasive, then it becomes grilling, and then I have to become what they would consider antagonistic because they would want to meander, and I don't like that.
Yeah. Well, I just brought Ron Reck in, so he's there too.
Oh God, Marty Taylor Greene.
You people should be ashamed of yourself by discriminating me and my good name. You know, crazy charade. Green would love to come hang out with me. She would slobber. I mean, just to be on my show as a guest. Oh my God.
I know.
She'd be the first
Crazy
one.
Nation.
And in fact, she would in fact be the one woman to have bigger balls than any man ever lived to be on my show. So I digress.
I know, and you would introduce her as my guest, motherfucking Marjorie Taylor Greene. She'd be back.
Marjorie, how the fuck you doing, baby? Fucking tell me about it. How's it been going, you know? Got any good fucking gigs? I mean, got to get sports, got weed, got to be gone.
Yeah,
smoking dope,
and the next day her people would be reaching out to you, her lawyers would be reaching out to you to demand that you remove the episode. You delete it from existence, you never let it out.
I know it's on Facebook. Twitter, it's all over. I can't do it. I'm here. It's too late.
Hello, Marjorie. How's it hanging?
Exactly. Hey, Marjorie, would you hand me that purple bong right next to you? Maybe I'd appreciate it. You're saying you thought about the fact of what happened in the election. Was there a lot of weed smoke before that came through to make that?
Well, it did. We smoked quite a bit of bowls and a couple of blunts, and, you know, it just wasn't the way it was. It was wrong. It's all wrong, and you know, if it's both out wrong, it's wrong. It's, yeah, you're right, that is. It was very wrong. It's so wrong.
Rogan does it on his show.
Yeah.
Rogan has a little bit of a different style than Ron. Okay.
Well, the problem with Ron is Ron has a certain girlfriend in his past that I don't know they particularly get along. And
Why do you say the past? I mean, I could still, it's ongoing. Ain't the fucking past.
Well, it is. I don't know.
She's still breathing. Fuck yeah. Of course it is. As long as she's fucking breathing, it's on, bro. don't fuck with my Haagen-Dazs. Don't do that. Don't even, don't fuck with my ice cream, man. Not my desert. Not my desert stick.
This reminds me, why has Green ever been on Rogan's show?
I don't know. Has she ever been invited?
I would think she
would.
Good
question. But, not sure.
Let me ask. What show was she just on?
I forget the name of the BTR show, but the link I sent to Laurianne. Let me see if I can find it, if I sent it by this phone.
I know you sent me the link to it. I'll just scroll up in our text.
Okay.
And I did have it open, I think, to give it a listen.
Well, you probably find it faster than me.
On my phone's tab.
Let me see. I've got three numbers that I use. And let me see. Did I use
only three? I have four.
You got
now
four?
Now tonight you're on Skype.
I know. Let me see. If I can... Well, it's not on this one. Yeah, that's a good question because we can download, you know, it's a normal interview, and she gives good reasons as to why she has done what she's done as opposed to the criticism against her. Let me see. Is it on this one? Yeah, it has to be on this one. Okay. It was on Festival Radio on the old, on the 16th, and it was called Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene Chats New Book. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene.
And I just found it in my text. too.
Huh?
So let me try to pull it up. Yeah. I just found it in my text.
Yeah. As far as I know, I'm surprised she's not on the, she may have been on the Michelle Swinnick show. Michelle Swinnick gets all the heavy hitters.
Yeah.
So that's the one you can go to, get the download.
Yeah, once I find the actual link, I will post it in the chat room. But I'm there on their main page, and there we go. Now I have it. Now I have the link, and I'm going over to the chat room to throw it in there on that Blog Talk show. There we go. It is now in the chat room.
Oh, boy.
And it was an interesting show for as short as it lasted.
Yeah, only 28 minutes.
Yeah.
I would have kept her on for 2 fucking hours at least.
Oh, God, yeah. God, yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, here's another thing. You know, the guest will probably be the one telling you how long they're going to be on.
Probably.
You know?
No. Not with Laurie.
They try.
No, with Laurie.
Maj Ture and his assistant, they're like, okay, well, he only has 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And I had him on for almost an hour and a
half.
That's
right. That's right. That's what I'm saying.
Who was this?
All of them.
Maj Ture, Black Guns Matter.
You know, the last time that I was
same
asked
thing,
to do an
I think
interview,
was Spike Cohen. When I had Spike Cohen on,
how long
on,
did I last?
And
I said, well, until the Bible.
I was allotted like 45 minutes. I had him on for an hour and a half, too.
That's right. So if you guys have a guest, and if you really want to listen to an expounded version of what she would normally say, just put her on Laurie Ann's show. Oh boy. You'll get it. It'll go. Believe me. They'll say, hey, look, she or he's only got about 45 minutes or 30 minutes. Okay, thank you, sir. And then this chick and this guy just keep talking and talking. Laurie Ann just keeps, pulling it out. Like I say, they're there for 2 days, and they don't even know it.
Yeah, I saw on a thing. I do that a bit. And I saw over a year that you did this. Can you talk about that before you go? Or,
right.
Blah, 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 20 minutes later.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. You got that talent of, if you guys have ever listened to Nori or if you guys remember Barry Farber, he had that talent, too. He would just say a few things, and the guest would just go on and on and on. You know, you wouldn't have to grill them.
Who did you say this was?
Yeah.
Did you say Barry Farber?
Yeah.
Yeah,
W-O-R. Yeah.
Yeah, God, is he still around?
He was great.
Is he still around?
I no, but I don't even think he's alive anymore. I think he died recently.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean.
Yeah,
because I was in high school when I was listening to him.
Yeah, he was great. He had that knack. He just would say a few words and let the talk just go on and on. And George Norrie too. George Norrie would say a sentence, and then 10 minutes later, the guest has stopped speaking because the guest just felt so comfortable, like with Barry Farber, and just continue on talking. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Well,
you see the difference.
It's kind of funny too. Like they'll be like going on about something, and they'll be like, and then the guest is like, oh, am I taking up too much time here? I kind of went on a thing, and I'm like, no, I'm just listening. Go for it.
Mm-hmm.
I think sometimes it's like they're surprised at being given the floor, because they're used to like, okay, you got 2 minutes to talk, and when they finally kind of get it that they don't really have a time limit, Like, just talk. Yeah, you have the floor. Then it's amazing what they'll just, you know, what they'll talk about. You know, just let them go for it, you know. Mm-hmm. And it turns out to be a really good show as a result because they, you know, they get the feeling like, okay, I don't have to limit my responses. I don't have to, you know, take a hour-long conversation and try to sum it up in 2 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you can really kind of get their real thoughts on things, and they become more real.
And they have come back. Some of them have come back. So they enjoyed being on a show that takes them 2 hours out of their lives when they only expected 30 minutes out of their lives.
Mm-hmm. I'm going for Hunter Biden. That's who I want as a guest on my show.
Oh, now Hunter Biden would be great for your show.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah. Perfect match, you know. I couldn't. Fantastic. I got you. Yeah.
But to your point, though, I was about a couple months ago, Dan Bongino was on the Megyn Kelly podcast, and they were talking about what good interview versus what makes a bad interview. And what they said is there's certain people that you ask a question, and they can go, you say, ask whatever question, and they'll go for 10 minutes on that one subject, you know, until it's time for you say, okay, whatever. But, you know, that's the kind of interviews those people like, is that you only ask a certain question, and that person will, you know, just...
You know, it's crowned on her for a long time. Yeah.
Yeah.
To me, the best interviewer that I've ever heard, and I don't even like this guy anymore, is Howard Stern. He draws out of you what you do not want to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
That is to me. Yeah.
He's gone woke.
I mean, in terms of interviewing and in terms of getting the raw information that you'd like to hear but don't hear, Howard Stern is best for that. Barry Farber and George Norrie.
Don't talk about my dad like that, man. Damn, dude. Fuck.
Yeah.
Don't you know that he's my dad and so is Rush Limbaugh and they had me? Don't you know that? Joe, fuck, brother, how long have you known me now?
Well,
yeah, Rush Limbaugh
was...
and Howard Stern's baby. Screw that man can have a baby. Here I am. It's fucking.
There you are.
I'm
going to
scare
it
up to motherfuckers.
Mm-hmm.
Swear to God. Okay.
Hey, I just brought Joe Gibson in, too.
All right.
I have a question. Who are you? I mean, I've heard you. I like the way your voice sounds and what you say. But I just can't put the name on it right now. I'm having an old man fart brain, you know?
So who's the you're talking about?
You.
Yeah. Oh,
you.
Oh, all right.
You.
There's a few of us online.
You. Peter Frampton.
Okay.
Okay,
I'm Frampton. Joe.
Joe. Okay, Joe. You're another Joe.
Joe.
Okay.
Joe one,
Montana Joe. We got Joe Gibson, which sometimes I just refer to him as Gibson to avoid confusion. I just brought
Joe
in Senator Robert, bringing it boy.
Yeah.
Yeah. We got a party going on here, guys.
Yeah,
boy.
Gunslinger is in the background listening, but hasn't raised hands yet.
Joe, let me ask you, where are you from? What area?
Montana.
And you were listening to Barry Farber in Montana?
WOR, WABC, and other New Jersey and New York shows are nationally syndicated. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that. Well, when I was living in the area, they weren't nationally syndicated. WOR wasn't, at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, sorry.
Did they pronounce that war?
I was just trying to figure out I was just trying to figure out, you know, you must be an East Coaster if you listen to Barry Farber. And
they're nationally syndicated, just like Alice Jones is nationally syndicated, too. But you're not going to hear them all over the place.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. Hello, I got my foot in the water.
Hey.
Uh-oh.
Hey, Joe, where are you?
No, Joe here. There ain't no Joe here.
It's Rob.
How's everybody doing?
We're doing good.
Excellent.
So far.
Black Friday.
Okay, good.
Racial myself and needs to be stopped.
Yeah, well, Father Ron, I don't know what to tell you.
Well,
that was your better.
They took into my mouth the goddamn syrup bottle and took the fucking Indian off the Land O'Lakes butter, man. What is the deal with that shit? But you got Black Friday. Okay. God damn. Fuck.
Leave it up to Ron.
But we have world peace now.
We do. That's cool.
We have to be having world peace because Aunt Jemima is no longer on the bottle. You know, who actually was a real person?
Yeah, and she was an icon. She was a great person.
And
we bought her shit, didn't we? We loved her too.
She
got to cancel Uncle Ben too.
Yeah, that motherfucker's gone too. I think he's out again too. Uncle Roger or something. I don't know.
And you know what?
It's so long ago.
The family of Aunt Jemima, they want her to stay. They want that emblem with her and the bandana, everything to stay. But the leftists, they say, no, you can't have that.
No, it's racial. But Black Friday is great. You know, Brianna's getting me out of the... Black Friday puts me out of the red. That's what black means, out of the red. You know, so I'm making money. So, that's good. It's okay if it means something about money. Fuck yeah, black is cool then.
They've already gone after Black Friday. Muzzies have been on their protest here today.
Right.
Were just all after Black Friday.
Yeah, the left is
but
black.
That's the best shopping day. Has always been the best shopping day for Christmas. You know, people. You know, hey, they're drawn to it. They get now. The thing is, they're baited into these sales. You know, when I could buy a little stackable step stool for $1.99, fuck, you know I'm there. You know, shit like that. You know? 10 flashlights for $5. You know,
I hope they don't go after Picnic next. Jesus.
You know, but, But that's the thing. And then, of course, the Black Friday thing, the big promotional thing, Black Friday. And most people, 99% of most motherfuckers already know what it means. Ask them. Okay, well, you know, I'm going to ask people, do you know what Black Friday means?
They should call it Scavenger Friday instead. Because if you call it Scavenger Friday, then it isn't racist.
That's being too nice, Laurie. You can't do that. I'm going to say, is it Tard Day? Is it the day of the Tard? You know, after Turkey Day, you get real retarded, so you got to get stupid with a credit card? Why not?
You can't have a Scavenger Friday either because it'll offend the rodents and the cockroaches who are scavenging and
the furries. Yes.
And
we can't offend the furries.
You can't talk about them.
Right.
You can't talk about endangered species.
Yeah. You know, it's against environmentalism.
Yes. It's part of the Environmental Protection Act, you know, and the Biden policy.
Yeah. What you really meant when you said we have world peace, you really meant to say the world is in pieces.
Yeah, I agree with that. Absolutely.
And these environmentalists want to get fucking turkey as the bird for Thanksgiving.
Don't they have a pair of balls? They go to a museum and they have the balls and take some oil and spread it on a masterpiece.
Did you guys hear that? Speech that Biden gave about pardoning those turkeys.
I could imagine.
Wasn't that last year? He did it again this year?
He did it again this year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow.
I brought Gunslinger in, so he's here too.
Well, they do that. Don't they do that every year as like a satirical ritual?
Yeah.
Every president.
They better make sure it's not a young.
They better
make sure it's the day.
It's the day before the Bohemian Grove meeting.
Yeah, they
are turkeys. They're going to sacrifice something like an elephant in fucking Bohemian.
The Bohemian Grove. We haven't heard about that in a long time. We should.
Yeah, that's a great place. Great, it's a great family vacation spot. It's really
make
good.
Make you not on here. Make you go
RV. They have rooms. It's really nice. The people really great.
Well, there's that
to
one.
The grove.
There's that one, and there's the Belizean Grove. That's the one for the females. You know?
Belize?
Yeah, Belize
is not on here.
You've only got a few minutes left, Ron. Maybe you want to...
Me? Oh, cut me off? Well, okay, thank you for everybody for coming.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ron. Not you, Ron. I'm sorry. I meant Rob.
Since, you know, you came, Ron. Don't do nothing wrong, and you know, don't take no wooden nibbles. You know, don't get fucked over by this fucking big...
That was my mistake. I meant Rob. I meant Robert. Bob.
You know, yeah, there's only like about 8 minutes left.
I mean, I kind of stuttered there for a minute.
Montana Joe is getting senile.
You got that right. What
is it, Danny? Barbara, is that Billy? Is that you on the phone? Billy?
When I talk about undiagnosed ADD, believe me, I have undiagnosed ADD.
Well, you guys, thank you for letting me get everything out tonight. And we'll talk to you all later.
Where are you going?
Where are you going?
I thought the show's about to end, right?
Well, just the live show.
No.
We're going to go into overtime.
Okay, good then.
Are you tripping, man? Have you been smoking a California weed, man?
She wants them?
I was just reminding Ram so we can give out the number, that's all.
Smoking the phone.
I could do that too, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, anybody can,
yeah.
Sure.
Ain't that difficult? It's not.
Hey, yo.
Sell a book on how to smoke pot. You know what? Look how that I am. I thought writing a book on just a pamphlet.
All right. If
we're
not going to do it, I will.
I'm
if you want to be
marijuana.
With us in overtime, you got 7 minutes to call in, actually closer to six. Call 646-478-5284. Again, 646-478-5284. Call in now within the next 6 minutes, and then we'll be going into overtime, which will be part of the show's recording. But the live broadcast will end, and so you need to call in now if you're going to do so. There,
yeah.
I did it for you.
Thank you. That's
what being a good co-host is all about.
Absolutely.
Oh, nothing like self-promotion.
Well, and, you know, while we're still
mention my show.
Well, that's what I was just going to say. While we're still in the live part, maybe we could promote each other's shows. I mean, you've... you know, Ron and Lori and Joe.
Yeah, Joe, where have you
been?
Yeah,
my show Sunday night. Hopefully you all will be there. Sunday night, Lucid Libertarian with Lori Ann, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Tune in. And unfortunately, Valerie is not going to be able to make it. Apparently her work scheduler, there was a temp in place or something and scheduled her for Sunday night. So she's not going to be able to join us this Sunday, but she will be back next Sunday. Just an announcement. Then Joe Gibson, if you're on the line, promote your show. Ron Rack, promote yours. Anybody else? Now's the time.
Tuesday, 7 p.m. Restoring our republic.
Joe's
restoring
actually
our
here. How about that?
I'm here.
Yeah,
And Ron Rex on the Howard Stern show.
Hey, Robert. Hey, Rob.
Yeah.
Rob.
Yeah.
This is California, Rob.
Oh, okay.
Get on there and promote your Better Half show.
My Better Half
Wednesday
show.
Wednesday night, she's at LiveTalkSpeaker.com. 6 p.m. 9 p.m. Eastern. Come and join us.
All right. Is it my turn finally? I'm always, okay, that's cool. Am I always the last motherfucker? Is that the deal now? All right, here's the deal.
We always get the wrong type of people on your show.
Yeah, well, that's just the way it is. And that's what I consider life and free will, and I don't care.
Well, we save the best for last. You know, we save the best
God,
for last.
Oh, God, don't tell
that's
me.
I'm
the, you tell me to get on the back of the bus every time I get on it. What's up with you all, man? Fuck, get this motherfucker in the back of the bus. We know him up front. We don't motherfucker know we know him. Fuck, you know, can't do that. Anyway, Crazy Nation Radio. It's on whenever I feel like fucking doing it. It usually starts at 10 o'clock, 11, who knows? I'm spontaneous. So you need to follow us on Crazy Nation Radio. And also, to make it even better, make it fucking work for you, we're also on Mixlr, Mixlr.com. Go check us out there. On there, we can be on there 24 hours a fucking day to really increase your life and fuck it up worse than it already is. We can help you with that. That's not a problem. So do that. Crazy Nation Radio. We can always Ron Rack and see you any, well, whatever that could be. So there you go. Party
on. And then when the BTR bitch kicks us all off of the overtime call, Ron's going to start up a show on BTR.
Oh, okay.
But I got
as he typically does.
As he typically does, yes.
But actually, I'm running both at the same time anyway, just so everybody knows. I'm on Mixlr 2 and BTR at the same time. But Mixlr doesn't turn off till 12 hours later. So I can jump off my two-hour segment or blog job radio and go to Mixlr and be on forever.
Okay.
So, show up to Ron's show if you want your mind scrambled.
We can't behave anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's already scrambled.
Grilled onions. With grilled onions. Sauteed mushrooms.
And some mushrooms.
And some mushrooms. Hey, man. What is this discussion in this chat room about his goddamn ribs? What is up with that?
That was my Thanksgiving dinner. I had ordered barbecue ribs. I didn't want to cook. I ordered barbecue ribs. So we're talking about ribs.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I didn't know. I'm sorry, Laurie. I didn't know. I'm sorry, I'm mistaken.
Well, you know how all those wacky wokes want to save the turkeys, so she saved the turkey yesterday.
Who are these woke motherfuckers? I don't even get that yet. You know that? Believe that? I don't get it.
Less turkeys died, but more beef and pork did.
Some of you people might have seen what I posted on Facebook a couple days ago. It's right, I think it was Thanksgiving, day before Thanksgiving I did a show. My post is on Facebook. And it shows a turkey reading the newspaper with talking to his wife, and it said that ex-murders are getting on the rise, you know, in the newspaper. That's what it said in the article, you know. Ex-murders on the rise. It's Thanksgiving, you know, so.
Has there ever been a president that cut the head off the turkey? Or they're always pardoning it?
I don't know.
Don't think so.
Well, that'd be a hell of a way to be part of the people, like
Sarah,
people.
Sarah.
Mercy killing.
They always pardon the turkey. There's one lucky turkey that's pardoned.
Cut the head off and then show everybody and split the belly open and start the, feathering right then and there. Start eating it.
Yeah, you know, the radio station that I listened to here in Albuquerque was saying that those turkeys were probably sent off somewhere else and somebody has eaten them already.
Yeah, that's true. They're pardoned for the moment.
farming for the moment. Yeah.
Yeah, so they get the
well,
live.
They've been grass fed.
Yeah, they were saved for Thanksgiving dinner, but they've got Christmas written all over them.
Yep.
Can I explain something to you folks? And I know you're not going to get down crazy. Listen to me. You know them turkeys they pardon at the White House? Them are not domesticated turkeys. Them are commercial raised birds. You know what I mean? You're going to see a white fucking turkey on a farm. You're going to see white turkeys in a
Remember the turkey that Bush Jr. pardoned and it bit his dick? You ever seen the video? This Bush Jr. and the turkey pardoned, like, totally, like, went at it in his crotch. If you've never seen the video, you got to Google it. It's funny as shit.
Mm. I vaguely remember something like that. Something's clicking back at something, but yeah, them are turkeys out of a fucking turkey barn.
It's one of those, yes, that really happened things.
Yeah, well, Bush Jr., he was funny without even knowing it.
Yeah.
I know,
he
right?
said, show up. That's all it took for him to show the fuck up and get go.
Bush didn't even know he got whacked in his weepy, huh?
He didn't know shit.
No, he did. He was laughing about it.
Yeah, but he probably thought it was about something else
funny.
Like Biden would.
You better not.
Okay, we're gonna switch out the turkeys. This one's no longer pardoned, but get another one that looks just like it for the public.
Yeah, and probably set it on air too.
hopefully they didn't pardon a young female turkey, or else, you know, would have went up there and sniffed it.
Yep.
Damn it.
Well, Joe from Montana just dropped.
Okay, so no one Joe.
Yep.
That's one less Joe I gotta remember.
He did say that he's having issues with his providers, and you know, so
he always had problems with his mom. He always does.
I know, right? Ever since I've known him, he always has problems with his phone.
And now I've never
called
back.
Maybe he likes having all those issues.
And I guess now
he likes the excuse to be able to call back.
Yeah.
Hey, I gotta take you guys to Wendy's with me. Anybody want anything? Hello?
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 Can you hear me?
Yeah, can hear you.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm too sure. I gotta take you guys to Wendy's with me. Anybody want anything to eat?
Take me up a Frosty, man. I want a peppermint Frosty.
Frosty.
Yep. From limited time. And with your McDonald's, they got the McRib back, man. So just play that too.
Okay, I can stop there.
All right, sweet.
Hey, would you stop by Dome's house and pick me up a half gram?
Pick me up a half gram. What you mean while you're out?
Okay,
pick me up a half gram. Get a 12-pack of Natty. 12-pack of Natural Light, man. Appreciate it.
All right,
thanks, bro.
No problem, man. Natural Light.
Yeah, half gram from the band. Go see the man. Tell him I need a half gram. Make sure he's not. He's on the fentanyl.
That's it. Easy on the fentanyl.
Easy on the fentanyl. Yeah.
That's funny. Yeah.
It is. That's hilarious. I think it's fucking funny. Cause, you know, I mean, God, people are that stupid. I don't know. I'm looking at it right now. This video just popped out 11 hours ago. It says Black Friday. Fucking. Best Buy, dead. There ain't a fucking soul around this motherfucker, man. It's open, but there ain't nobody there. Nothing. That's bad. That's real fucking bad. I mean, you're in a fucking soul nowhere.
Yeah, and I think quite a while back on my show even, I was talking about how I predict that this is going to be a bad holiday season. You know, all indicators are pointing to a bad holiday season, which means a lot of companies that rely on the seasonal sales, and if Christmas sales are down, holiday sales are down, from Halloween all the way through New Year's, that's a bad indicator for first quarter in the following year.
Yeah.
Really bad news.
I've heard the same thing, that it's not going to be a good year for the holidays this year, but I guess all we have to do is wait and watch and see what happens.
Who can afford it, you know?
Anymore, that's for dang sure.
Really, that's the thing. It's like, do we spend a lot of money on traveling and gifts for Christmas, or, you know, do we try to replenish our savings account that is almost depleted, you know, and that kind of thing. That's, you know, that's the reality of it.
Last week, sometime in the overtime, Bing Fisher was mentioned. And I think Joe was talking about him. And I contacted him and told him that it was about in the middle of the third hour, and several people were there mentioning you. And I got an email back from him today, and he says, yeah, I got some more work to do, got a new computer, so I'm working on getting that transferred. I'm also going to hook up my mixer and sound today. If it goes right, I keep getting buzzing sounds, so I figure, until I figure out what that is, but I will be back, though. So he's going to be back, and he told me he's going to keep the name of his show, American by Design, so he's said he's going to be back, so that's a good thing.
Right on.
Mm-hmm.
Always a good thing.
Yeah.
Fill up some of the air time.
Yep.
They are wander out of the peppermint. They got mint pepper.
Mint pepper. That sounds like something from New Mexico. They had a thing in the Pinion Post today that was talking about the New Mexico High Court sets hearing date for suit over Governor MLG's anti-gun order. So the High Court is setting up a lawsuit against her on that one. So that's a good thing. Now, if it happens, it happens.
Yeah, there have been some wins this week that I wanted to talk about on my show. You know, Oregon here, big measure 114 being found unconstitutional. Other states are following suit. So, yeah, it looks like Sarge dropped. We don't have him anymore either.
Yeah.
At least as far as I can tell. But yeah, like there's some big news, like, you know, and the decision here in Oregon, that was like 44 pages.
Ooh.
Like this judge, like, really laid it out, like, you know, court cases and everything that was referenced and stuff, like he really wrote it out so that, because he knows it's going to be appealed. But with the way he wrote this decision out, it leaves so little room, you know, to go on. It's like, yeah, so it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting. But for now, it's like, so again, Measure 114 is not going to take effect. Not the permit to purchase, not the 10-round magazine limit, all that stuff. The database, that's the other part of it. Like, nobody talks about the component within Measure 114, that's the database, where it'll be up to local law enforcement and sheriff offices to maintain a database of all of the permit to purchase people. So it's a registration process, basically. And it'll tie their permit, you know, to purchase with the purchases that they make. You know, and it's a total tracking thing. You know, plus, even after that, you have to still, like, you know, after you get your permit to purchase, you still, when you actually go to buy a firearm, have to get yet another background check, you know. And that can be delayed getting back till, you know, fucking 2 months, 3 months later. I mean, it's ridiculous. And so it's a really good thing that this Measure 114 was found unconstitutional with this Tony Coney judge focusing solely on the Oregon Constitution, but applying the same principles as, like, Bruin, you know, the, you know, focusing on the original intent of the writing of, you know, our right to keep and bear arms per our Oregon Constitution. That was his focus. And so I think he made it pretty hard to appeal this, you know, and have the arguments overthrown. You know what I mean? He made it difficult.
And Lorianne, we just had an election here in Louisiana. We got a new governor. This governor is a conservative governor, and here's the deal. Back about a year ago, maybe, whatever it was, we brought up constitutional carry here in Louisiana. But at that time, we had a, guess what, a Democrat for a governor, and it passed the state legislature, both sides of the state legislature in Louisiana, but the governor vetoed it. Now that we have a new governor, a governor, say, I don't want to say constitutional, but he's a conservative, he's this, that, and the other, and what's probably going to happen within a year, we're going to see the Louisiana legislature down here bring up constitutional carry again and we pass it again, and this new governor is going to sign it. So Louisiana is going to be another one of the states in the growing number of states that's going to have constitutional carry.
Yep.
What does that mean, constitutional carry, just out of curiosity?
You don't need to have a permit to concealed carry. You can just carry. It's constitutional. Keep and bear arms means keep and bear arms. So constitutional carry means no permit to carry a firearm to protect yourself in public.
It's the same thing in Texas. We've had it for 2 years and 3 months now. Constitutional carry. But here's, wait a minute, even though it's constitutional carry, supposedly under the Second Amendment, you know, the great, there are still restrictions on constitutional carry, even in Texas. The greatest gun state in the whole union still has restrictions on where you can carry that gun, even under constitutional carry. It's crazy.
Cool.
Yeah.
Like courthouses, public buildings, you know, if they've expanded it so much, you know, not on public transportation, so not on subways or the bus where, like, most of the crime happens.
I need to jump in real quick, but I put a link in the chat room. This is Tucker Carlson talking to that guy that got busted for making fun of Hillary fucking Clinton. He's one got to die before he got trial for making fun of Hillary Clinton. Take a look at that.
Plus gunslinger. Isn't that the what was it, the 51% rule about how much liquor can be sold or something at a restaurant?
You can't carry into a bar. I said you can't carry into a bar. That's the 51-50 rule, okay? If the establishment makes more money on the sale of alcohol, beer, liquor, doesn't matter, then you're prohibited from carrying it into that particular place. If they make less, their majority is food, okay, then you can carry it in there. Even though they still may sell beer, you can still carry it in there. It's crazy.
I heard places like that can make a lot less by a book of matches.
Yeah, you think so. But, I mean, you know, it's kind of, you know, back in the Wild West, especially here in the southern states, you know, when a cowboy would go into town, you know, and go into the parlor, they used to be called parlors, and, you know, they checked your weapon in right there.
Firearm. Yeah.
Firearm in right there. You go to the whorehouse or the drink or whatever. Okay, then when you leave, pick up your gun, go out. You know, maybe that's the way it should be today, because you know it's. I hate regulations. I hate rules and all this crap. But a gun in a bar, you're asking. You may be asking for trouble. You know what I mean?
Oh yeah.
Because you get stupid-ass people. You get these stupid-ass people.
Yeah, but then the alternative is being defenseless when somebody that doesn't abide by the rules comes in with their firearm and they're shooting at people and nobody has their firearms on them because they were confiscated at the door.
Yeah, you tell me.
You know, how do you shoot back when your guns are confiscated? You know?
It's just like the shooter up there in Maine.
You know, that's what these mass shooters target. They don't go to places that they know are going to have a whole bunch of people that are carrying to, shoot right back at them. They don't go to those places. They go to places they know there's not going to be any guns around, these gun-free zones, you know, these public places like that. No bars, blah, blah, blah. They know exactly where to go because they know exactly that everybody's going to be a sitting duck because there's going to be very few people that actually are, you know, breaking the rules, you know, and carrying anyway to stop them. They bank on it.
And Lori Ann, but there are certain situations that prop up. And I'm going to tell a story, but Doug could probably tell it better. I believe it was a Hooters or one of those restaurants that Gunn was in at one time. And, well, it may have been another one, but he heard about the situation where these kids walked into the restaurant and they were trying to do something, sell some stuff or do something that they shouldn't have been doing. And nobody had a gun in that restaurant, and they basically messed up that restaurant. They came back and tried it again in another restaurant, and, well, correct me if I'm wrong, Gunn, isn't that the story?
It was at a Hooters restaurant way up there in North Dallas. These group of black individual kids, probably, 13, 14 years old, came into the restaurant and they was wanting to sell chocolate candy, I think, candy bars or something like that. Okay. Well, the manager said, we don't allow that here, so you need to leave. So their older brothers, two or three, I think, that was waiting out in the car, came in, started smashing up things, smashed out the front door windows and broke the manager's arm, all kinds of crap. But Hooters is a bar, and you can't carry your gun in there. Go figure. And I actually went up to that place. I wanted to see it, so I actually went up to the place. I was sitting there watching the door just to make sure it didn't occur again. But, can't carry a gun in there. Even though they may come in there and smash and beat up.
Like the suppressed thing is, you know, what the media never wants to cover, what the government never wants to have to really admit to, is how often crimes are stopped by somebody with a gun. And that somebody with a gun is probably violating a city ordinance or whatever and carrying where they shouldn't be. But, you know, those are the statistics they don't want you to know, because it happens more often than you think, that somebody that's carrying even just shows their firearm you know, right. And the person that, you know, probably would have killed a bunch of people runs the hell off because sure. They don't want to get shot. They're like, oh, shit, you know. And, you
or
know,
even
somebody else has a firearm that can kill me.
Or even stopping a fight in, say, a restaurant, for example. Okay.
Exactly.
I've done it. It happened to me.
Amazing how a firearm can de-escalate things sometimes.
Yeah. It's happened to me. We was over there at Golden Corral over here in Arlington, Texas, one of my favorite restaurants to go to. And I'm sitting up there, going up there to get my baked potato, okay? And there was this black guy sitting over in one of the booths right there, and he started mouthing off about this guy's wife. She was standing right next to me, okay? And then I looked to my left, and there's this big old Mexican about make two of me, okay? And they started arguing back and forth. Ah, you motherfucker, cunt motherfucker, don't you talk about my goddamn wife about that. I backed up and pulled my shirt up and exposed my gun. And they both looked at it and they said, oh, we're sorry, sir. Sorry about that. So it works. Don't tell me it don't
and
work.
You didn't even have to fire a shot.
Yeah, I didn't even have to put my hand down. I put my hand down toward my gun, but
exactly.
I didn't have to really. And,
most people never report those kinds of things either. So it's like it happens more often than you think. It's like,
yeah,
no, somebody's here that could actually stop
yeah.
this shit, you know, before it really
escalates. Before it escalates. And, you know, and the guy came up to me later and said, oh, I'm sorry, sir, about that. Because I wear a badge that says concealed handgun license. It looks just like a cop badge. So he probably thought I was a cop, but I'm not. Okay. But, hey, whatever it takes to protect yourself, got to do it.
Well, that's fine, you know.
That's got to do it.
Yeah, and
their misunderstanding and works to the advantage of everybody around.
There's a clip that Gunn has in his chat room, or maybe in some other places, where there are two girls fighting in, like, a subway or something, right? And one of them is a, you know, one of them's black, one of them's white, but and it's probably about a boy or whatever the fuck it is, but you know, at one point one of the girls gets the upper hand and starts to stomp on the other girl's head, right, Gunn?
Yep, that happened in Texas.
And,
in South. Yep.
Yep. And basically, if Gunn had been there, he would have been in the right, drawing his firearm and drawing his gun and shooting at the aggressor down. Defense of a third person.
Yeah. that's in the state of Texas now. Now, I can't speak for any other states, but in the state of Texas, you are authorized to use deadly force.
Yeah, here in Oregon, you should have those same exceptions, but we are in a, you know, gun control, you know, minority here in Oregon. And so, you know, you would have to defend yourself, absolutely, and
oh, yeah.
convince a jury, you know, who probably aren't, you know, for two-way gun rights, you know. And you'll still face charges. Still be might self-defense, but then you'll still be, like, facing the charges of, you know, concealed carrying in a place that's not allowed, and that's a federal, you know, that's a felony and all this other shit. And so you have an uphill battle fighting it.
Well, here, you know, in Texas, the law says you have the right to defense of a third person. Defense of a third person. So if you see somebody getting the shit beat out of them and you're pounding them in the ground and, you know, knocking them unconscious, well, that person, you could use lethal force on them, okay? It's real picky, but, you know, you can't just sit there and let the person just beat the shit out of them and kill them, you know? So, you know, it's just judgment call, you know? You have a judgment call there, you know?
Yeah.
But it is...
Yeah, but I'd rather face a jury than some of the legislators that, you know, but they influence opinion and all that, you know. And when it comes to something like that, it's like, you know, if you acted in self-defense, then you should not have to face all those other charges. You know, it's kind of like an entrapment. you know.
Well, it is.
Sure,
it is.
You exercise your right to defend others, but we're still going to charge you, and you're still going to pay out your ass because you carried in a place that you weren't supposed to carry in, you know, and you'll still face that shit. All that shit should be dismissed if the whole reason behind it was a self-defense thing, then everything else should be taken off the roster as far as charges go.
Well, even if you carry it a place where it's prohibited, that's just a sign on the door. The worst thing they could do is ask you to leave. Okay, now if you don't leave, they could call the cops. You can get a citation for trespass. That's all it is trespassing. Okay, but if you have to use the weapon in either in a place like that or in a place that you you can carry, you know, it should be that as long as it was justified self-defense, the cop should say, good shot. Here's your reward for taking out the trash. Okay?
Okay.
Yeah. But the way these prosecutors, I call them persecutors, are and some of them are anti-gun. Okay, there's no doubt about it. They're all over the country. That's why I carry insurance. Ain't that crazy? In today's society, you have to carry insurance, which is Texas Law Shield. Okay, you can look it up if you're in Texas, and it gives you a complete access to a team of lawyers, bail money if they arrest you up to $75,000, and expert witnesses on your behalf for $13 a month. Can't beat it in today's society.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. And there's Delta Defense, that kind of thing, the firearm insurance.
So,
in a lot of ways, like especially if you carry, you know, if you're out there and you're carrying, it's a really kind of a smart thing to do to pay $13 or $15 a month just to have access in case something does happen, you know, access to attorneys, access to resources, access to, you know, helping to pay those legal fees, because you can bankrupt yourself defending yourself in a case like that.
Well, okay, here's one more good thing of advice. Even if it's not, you don't have to pull your gun, you don't have to shoot or whatever. If you have to, in states other than Texas, I guess, because Texas, we don't have no law that's brandishing, you know, brandish a weapon. We don't have that down here. Other states do. Okay. But if you happen to be in a road rage incident and somebody's coming up to your car and I'm going to beat the shit out of you, motherfucker, for goddamn changing lanes or, you know, whatever, and you pull your gun and you don't have to use it and the guy sees it, he runs, you still need to call 911 and report it. And here's why. Because it's a race between who calls 911. If you call, well, you're carrying a gun, and say, this is what just happened, you know, this guy came up to me with a tire tool, he's fixing to, you know, probably damage me. Or
yeah, that works in your favor.
Yeah, it works in your favor.
Phone wins.
Because you're the one that's called 911 first. Now, if he calls 911 first, he could say, hey, that motherfucker over there pulled a gun on me. I didn't do a fucking thing to him. See my point? So it's always good to be the first.
Well, you know, especially, like, get this. I just saw this article today. Washington, D.C. hits 900 carjackings over 1 year on Thanksgiving Day. in all, 77% of carjackings committed in the federal district involved a firearm. And that's like the most anti-fucking gun area there is Washington, D.C. But 77% of the carjacking involved a firearm. 66% of arrests involved a juvenile defendant. Yeah, so that's quite a thing.
Okay.
They've formed a carjacking task force and all this, you know, so like if you're going to Washington, D.C., you know, you are, you know, don't be surprised if you get carjacked is really the thing. And don't be surprised if they have a firearm, even though you're in a city, you know, Washington, D.C., that prohibits firearms like left and fucking right unless you're law enforcement or Capitol Police.
Make sure you got a fucking gun. Not a gun, okay. A fucking gun.
Okay, so so gun, just looked it up. The Louisiana has that, but they call it it's defense of others. It is justifiable to use force.
You have no
or
self-defense, right?
To kill in the defense of another person. When it is reasonably apparent that the person attacked could have justifiably used such means himself, and when it is reasonably believed that such investment and intervention is necessary to protect the other person. So we have that act too, have that ability too.
In Tennessee, Washington, D.C., Maryland, places like that, you have no self-defense laws. That means you're not allowed to defend yourself. You have to retreat.
Yeah, is that crazy? That's insane.
That's nuts.
Yeah. Crazy.
It will, you know, years ago, it used to sort of be that way in the state of Texas. Years ago, if you had to defend yourself, say, in a home invasion, for example, somebody's, you know, trying to beat your door down or whatever, and you open the door and you shoot them, you better drag, at that time, you better drag their ass in the house. Make sure they die in the house. Because they would fucking barbecue your ass. Now, with the castle doctrine and all that good stuff, you don't have to do that. I mean, if your car's parked out there on the street and you look out there at 2 o'clock in the morning and some damn little punks are removing your engine and your wheels and your trunk and everything else in the car.
I propose my county be a Second Amendment sanctuary county.
Absolutely. Oh, yeah, definitely. No doubt.
Yep.
So, yeah.
People are a fuckload more polite when they know other people are armed too around them. Whatever
Correct.
Shit they start, you know, they better be willing to finish because, you
well,
know, that's the way it is.
What's the old saying, Don? An armed society is a polite society.
Polite society. Yep. Unless you live in a hostile state like New York or Chicago or, well, L.A. for that matter, those are hostile states. I mean, isn't that terrible? A state that is called hostile, that means they're dangerous, they're you know, extreme, you know, especially like New York.
Portland,
you know. Especially in like New York, they will fucking put you in prison just for brandishing. Even if you have a carry permit.
When I travel up north, I try to avoid that whole area.
Oh, yeah.
Quickly as I can.
If you carry in New York, you better damn well have the matching permit for the gun you're carrying. You're going to get arrested.
Unless you're a police officer. Then you can get away with it.
Oh, yeah.
But if you own multiple pistols or whatever, you better have the right. You better have, if you decide, if you own a 9mm and a .357, and you decide to take that .357 out on a given day in New York, you better have the permit for that .357. You can't have that 9mm.
that permit. You got to have a permit for each one.
I knew a guy he was somebody broke into his house.
Exactly. It's registration. It's gun registration.
I knew a guy that shot somebody. He shot an intruder in his house. He lived in Tennessee. That's why I said Tennessee. He got 15 years in jail for manslaughter for killing a guy breaking into his house.
Damn, no shit.
Yeah. Wow. 15 years.
That's just so wrong. Like, those are the people that need to be pardoned, you know?
Yeah.
It's oh,
like,
yeah.
I was defending my home. People were breaking in, and I'm the one in fucking jail, you know?
Well, the problem
I'm the one having to do life in prison and fuck my whole life up.
Crazy, man. That's bullshit. It's that's why we got to elect good people, man, this next election. Get them all out. Get them all out. Fire them all. Get them all out. Flip the whole thing. You know? It's got to fix this shit, man. It's getting pissed off every day
ago, I was telling everybody, like, don't reelect any of these motherfuckers, you know?
Yeah.
Exactly. When they're up on the ballot and they haven't done their job, then you vote for somebody else. You know, and just change over everything. Don't reelect anybody. You know what I mean? And if you do that, then there'll be a complete change, an absolute complete change. If you don't reelect anybody on the ballot, nobody gets reelected. New blood across the board. You know,
they clearly didn't do their job this time around. Look at the freaking gas prices. Look at the taxes. Look at the inflation. Come on, man. Get all out of there.
Yep. That's the one thing that's been
high
going down
rate.
In New Mexico. That's the one thing that has been going down in New Mexico is our gas prices.
What's your gallon? What's the price down there?
Ours is still pretty high here. At Chevron, like it was like 367 or something.
The lowest I've seen here so far is 267. It's come down quite a bit.
Yeah, but that's not good still. Nobody should be happy with that. It should be like $1.25, if that.
It should be 75 cents.
There you go. Ridiculous.
Well, and, you know, that's because it's winter time where most states are required to put more ethanol in their gas.
Yep.
You know? So it's more ethanol than it is actual petroleum, so that's why it naturally should go down. And it's still pretty high. That's still pretty spendy.
Yeah,
And it was Biden 2 years ago that increased the percentage. In order to save on petroleum, increased the percentage of what's allowable in gas normal times of the year, and then increasing the level of ethanol even more during the winter months where, you know, so Biden increased the level. And we should be even more seeing savings, but we're not.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Well, you know,
you gotta remember this. To produce a gallon of ethanol, okay, it takes a gallon of petroleum.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not saving nothing.
Exactly. Nope. It's another one of those farces. Did you guys see, I saw this story I can't remember what state it was in, but this huge field of solar panels, there was a big hailstorm that just busted a whole fucking field of these solar panels.
No shit.
It's like, well, there's an environmental fucking disaster right there, you know. I mean, they can't, like, recycle that shit, you know. It's all busted.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there you go. Whole fucking field. Just out. Boom. One hill. You know, what kind of future does fields of solar panels have, you know?
By the way, that guy in Tennessee who got sent up the river for defending his for manslaughter for defending his house.
Yeah.
Tennessee has a castle doctrine.
No, this is back in the 1990s. So he was in prison with me. So that's why I said, I don't know if they changed it by then. Yeah.
Yeah, they changed it by now.
Yeah, I mean, because they had a notice of self-defense, I remember, because I remember talking to him. I was like, damn, man, 15 years for what? He said, a guy broke into my house. I said, no way. I didn't believe it. And he showed me the paperwork. He got 15 years manslaughter.
Damn.
You know, fucking asshole of an attorney, that's for sure. Any attorney worth a shit would have been able to, you know, do a decent job of avoiding
him
that.
A better deal. He had no criminal record, you know? I mean, crazy,
did he plea?
Man.
That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
That's
yeah,
the
they
problem.
Scared
the
him.
Enticement to plea. Admit guilt for something that you didn't do because they make you so afraid of facing a jury. Honestly, like, you know, I'd rather face a jury. Like, you find me guilty, you know? Fucking A. I defended myself or I defended somebody else. Fuck you, you know? So sorry that the guy got injured or died and now the family's pissed off because they broke into my fucking house. You know?
Well, I know. In Connecticut, too. My home state in Connecticut, the police told my dad once, they said the same thing. They said, you can't shoot somebody if they break into your house. Now, I never checked on that. I think Connecticut had the same thing. You don't have no self-defense law. So I'm not sure.
Yeah, and, like, that's what you face. But, you know, I would rather go up on a jury than take some plea deal and admit guilt. Because the second you admit guilt, then you're fucked. You know?
Oh, yeah.
You will never... But if you are found guilty and you've maintained your innocence, then your case upon any kind of new evidence will be more likely to be reopened and get a fucking court hearing if you have never, ever admitted guilt. You know, you were found guilty. You did not take some fucked up plea deal. You've maintained your innocence the whole time, then you get basically priority. But if you take that plea deal, you're fucked. Your case is going to be the last that's heard. That's just the reality. And don't ever take a plea deal. Fuck that. Unless you're guilty, you know. If you are guilty, then yeah, take the plea deal. But if you're not guilty, then never, ever, ever.
Yeah, matter of fact,
fucking
yep.
Take that
duty
plea deal.
To
never, ever, ever admit guilt. Ever.
Duty to retreat laws, right here. It says right here the states that you got North Dakota, Minnesota, Wisconsin, damn, Iowa, Missouri, Arkansas, Nebraska, Wyoming, Connecticut, New York, of course, New Jersey, Delaware, Maine, Massachusetts, Long Island, all have duty to retreat. That means you have to retreat. It's crazy.
Thank God Texas is not on that law.
Yeah.
Ooh, man.
And there's Louisiana.
Yeah, Louisiana.
What is it? I didn't catch it. What was
that?
That
retreat can be, I guess the misconception, you know, let's just, you know, retreat can be, hey, I took a few steps away to back off and they kept at me, you know, and then you're justified. All you have to do is inject some form of trying to, you know, retreat the situation, even if it's only a couple of steps back.
Only if you're physically restrained. Only if you're physically restrained can you use deadly force.
Yeah,
that's what it says.
Well, he backed me into the bathroom, and I had no place to go.
It says you got to run away. That's what it says. Run away.
Yeah, but I was back in the bathroom, and I had no place
to
go.
Didn't have to do that.
I can't get out.
I have to run away first? Fuck that. No way.
Fuck that shit.
Well, I mean, look at what happened to...
But then again, like you said, Wisconsin, that's why Rittenhouse was found not guilty, because he obviously did run away, but he was being pursued, you know?
Yeah. Yeah,
I mean,
well, that's why he had a big
away.
Thing about
that,
it.
That's
yeah.
why he is not guilty
look
of that. He was not the pursuer. He was not
he got
the
a record,
aggressor.
Though.
What happened to the McCoskeys up there in St. Louis?
You know, they
could have retreated into their houses. This group of people appeared to be going for them. All right, I've seen the video. So they appeared to be going for them. They could have retreated into their house. They stood on their porch, I think, if I'm remembering correctly. But they could have retreated into the house, and he would have been in the right in shooting one of these guys, but we saw what happened with him. It's all right now. It's all political with him because he's trying to run for Senate or whatever it is. I don't know whatever it is, but anyway, that's the deal. When you got people that when you got these liberals that get in charge of these communities, you know. And it's like, okay, we have these laws. We're going to water them down. We have these standing ground, these castle doctrine laws. We're going to water them down. You know, that's what they do. That's what these liberals do, you know. They water down
things. Well, the first indication, we saw their indication when they changed the laws so that the manufacturers of firearms can be sued for what people use them for. That was your first indication, like, okay, we are going to fucking bankrupt the gun agency by, you know, civil cases.
Yep.
And allowing that, you know, you bankrupt the manufacturer, you bankrupt the insurers, you end up bankrupting the gun owner. Anytime they actually do have to use their firearm in self-defense.
Mm-hmm.
Unless they have, like, a really good fucking sheriff, you know, that's where your sheriff becomes important when you vote. if you're lucky to live outside of the city like me, I am just outside of the Salem area. I am governed by county. And so far I'm pretty happy with my county sheriff. My county sheriff was one of them that wasn't going to enforce Measure 114 until it works its way through the courts and doesn't have much choice. But, you know, so I got to give kudos to my county sheriff, and that's why I voted for him, because he had a high grade as far as being pro-Second Amendment.
And here's the deal. Here's the deal, Laurie. When you've got places, like there's a couple of these places in, like, Florida where the sheriffs have all but said, if somebody does something, you break into your house or whatever, go ahead and shoot them, you know. Less work for us, right, Gunslinger?
That's true. Yeah. Well, you know, like I said, if you had home invasion in Texas, shoot them dead.
Yep.
And that's what those sheriffs.
If they're in my house, I don't have to warn them.
No.
You book it into my house. I'm in my bedroom. You know, I got my handgun. I shoot. I'm not going to be like, hey, stop there. You know, I'm not law enforcement, and I don't have to announce myself, and I don't have to announce that I have a gun in my own fucking home defending it. I can bring it out, and I can fucking shoot. you know, mm-hmm. you got a gun on me, I am going to fucking shoot you. I don't, you know, I'm not going to give you any more seconds to aim your gun more accurately toward me than I do toward you, you know.
True.
Yeah, you got to stop that shit yeah. immediately. You just fire, you know. You get your fucking aim on them and fire. Boom, done.
Yeah, you
no
know,
warning
it's
necessary. You've broken my fucking home. You know?
There was another video of from a news story about a guy in a food court that he was being pursued by one of these internet YouTube jockey things, and he threatened him. I believe that's the story, right, Gunn?
Yeah, he was at a food court in a mall, and this YouTuber, jackass, dumb fuck, they make these prank videos, you know, like, you know, going up to people and grabbing their grocery cart or some bullshit like that. Well, this guy, he was a Uber driver, I think, and he was in there getting an order or something, and he's a little short guy, probably about 5'2", 5'1", I mean, a little short guy. Hell, he's shorter than me, and I'm 5'9". And these two punks, this one guy.
Yeah, I'm 5'9".
This dude's like 6'3", 6'4". I mean, he's a big old motherfucker. He made two of me, okay? Started putting the phone up and shoving it in the guy's face. And the guy said, hey, man, back off. Stop it. Get away from me. I don't want to get away. And he just kept doing it like a fucking dumb fuck. And the guy pulls the goddamn gun out and shoots him in the stomach. Okay. I would have shot him about 17 times. I would have emptied a clip into him. Because that's threatening. His life, he was being threatened. He warned them, get away from me. Stop it. And the dumb fuck just kept on going. He should have been 6 foot under. Okay. Well, you talk about a dumb fuck, man. You talk about, oh, man, there's some dumb people out
yeah.
there.
Yeah. Wow. Like, okay, now you're being a complete dipshit. You know, and look at me being a woman. Like, if some guy's coming out of me out of fucking nowhere like that, you know, and in my face and all that kind of shit, how would I react? You know? Like, I am physically being threatened here. I am physically, you know, like, no, fuck this.
And remember that your hands and feet are considered weapons. Your hands and your feet, under the law, are considered weapons. So you come up to me with your fist clenched, and you're saying, I'm gonna knock your fucking teeth down your throat, I can pull my gun out and fucking shoot you right there. Plain and simple. You threaten me with your fist,
yep.
I feared for
especially
my life.
Especially if there's witnesses.
Especially
yeah,
sure
if
you're,
there's witnesses that can say, yeah, you know, they were verbally threatened, you know.
Yeah.
And physically threatened with the motions and stuff, then that's your defense.
Well, you know,
you practically
when I
represent yourself in your own fucking case, but it's not advice, you know.
Yeah. when I got my CHL, which was my carry permit, which was in 95, I took the class and the training and all this bullshit. And the firearms instructor that was doing the class, he was a ex-Dallas police instructor, Dallas police firearms instructor. And when we was out there on the range, he said, if you're going to have to shoot somebody, shoot them dead. Because a dead man tells no tale. You know, that may be, he said, because they can come back and sue you. If you just wing them, you know, or shoot them in the leg or something, they can come back and sue you, okay? He said, shoot them dead.
Yep, or right their family can.
Or their family can, yeah.
What was the name of those two guys, Ramos and Compion? The guys, they were the ICE guys down at the border or whatever, and one of these criminals crossing the border, and I believe Ramos shot him in the ass. Didn't shoot him dead, but shot him in the ass. And the guy came back and testified against him and put Ramos and Campion both in jail.
Yeah.
Because Ramos didn't kill him.
Yep. Well, you know, it's a terrible situation that you have to do that to start out with. You know, because people are so fucking stupid. Just, we've said this before, and I've said it a zillion times. Lost count of how many times I've said it. That you don't go up to people, and you see that they got a gun. You ever heard the expression, bring a knife to a gunfight? Okay? But there's actually people that will do that. I mean, I just seen a clip all ago of that one that tried to rob that armored car out in front of that store, okay? And then when the guard pulled a gun on him, he ran next door to a deli and tried to rob them, okay? And I actually seen the body cam of the cop. He pulls up, gets out, runs in, opens the door, and you can see the guy at the end of the counter down there. And the guy runs toward the cop with two knives, okay, two big old long butcher knives. And the guy, the cop is saying, drop him, drop him. He drops him, kills him, deader than hell.
Yeah.
But run the cop with two butcher knives, what do you think's going to happen? Talk about the weather. Hey, you want coffee with your knives there? We'll sit around and talk about the weather. Yeah, right, sure. Shot that motherfucker dead in the doornail. He dead before he hit the ground. Same thing. Classic example. Don't bring a knife to a gunfight. Now, I think it was suicide by cop. Because, you know, he ran at the cop. What do you think the cop's going to do? Just stand there and get sliced up by knives? No. Crazy.
Yep.
And some of them want to do that, too. It's like, okay, you know, I'm going to off myself, but I'm going to make a political statement about it. And we've seen that time and time again, like Nashville, trans, crazy, anti-white, trans, completely confused individual. You see it right there.
That's the epitome.
And people actually feel sorry for the he-she thing that, you know, killed all those kids and went into the school and did all that. You know, feel sorry, you know. Don't feel sorry. Not at all.
Look at what happened with the Michael Brown situation. The cop was on the way to another crime, right? Darren Wilson was on the way to another crime. He sees Michael Brown walking down the goddamn middle of the street, breaking some ordinances and some laws doing that. He tells him to stop. What does Brown do? He accelerates toward Wilson, right? What do you think Wilson's going to do? I mean, Brown's 180 pounds heavier than Wilson, you know, it's almost 300 pounds, and Wilson's maybe 180. He's like a gunslinger, he's 180 soaking wet, you know. And what do you think Wilson's going to do? Wilson's going to draw his gun and shoot Brown dead, exactly what he did. You know, exactly what he should have done. Because Brown was being a threat to Darren Wilson. Right, Gunslinger?
Yeah, they're right. Yeah. What do you think he's going to do? You know? Oh, shit. Well, I'd do the same thing. I would have done the same thing. But if you want to...
I know. Because it's like, you know, it would be no different than, okay, I don't have my firearm with me, but, you know, I do keep a switchblade knife in my vehicle, you know, and I use that to defend myself. There should be no difference. Whether it's a gun or whether it's a knife, if I defend myself, I defend myself.
If you want to see that shooting, there it is right there in that deli. Well, he tried to rob a armored car first. That didn't work out too well for him. And then he ran next door and tried to rob his deli. And this is the actual body cam of the cop. When he guns him down. Yay.
Criminals were stupid.
Yeah, they're stupid. Yeah.
Try and rob an armored car. Most normal people know that these armored cars, the guys who drive the armored cars, and there's probably maybe a guard in the back of it, they're all carrying a gun. You know? They're all carrying a gun.
That dude in the back of that thing's carrying a semi-automatic high-powered rifle that stick out them little ports on all around it. What are gun ports? You can stick that damn gun out. If you're near it, you're in trouble.
And it's like, okay, you're gonna try and rob an armored car with a knife.
Yeah.
First off, where's the penetration to get into the? You gotta get into the armored car. I mean, I guess you could maybe pick the lock with a knife, but again, that's taking your weapon away from you. And again, the guy inside the armored car sees you coming outside that gun port. Through that gun port, what's he gonna do?
Shoot.
That's right.
Shoot. I never was a security guard.
Well, you know, armored cars now are outfitted with a lot of technology, tracking technology, communications. So every single thing is recorded and stuff around it. You know, it's like they are outfitted now. Like, you can't rob one of those motherfuckers now without being recorded in every single way, from audio to camera to everything. It's just the way it is, and you can hack into that, though. You know, if it's going to be electronically controlled, it can be hacked into.
I think they're even airtight for a chemical attack. If somebody tries to, use chemical warfare or whatever on it. I mean, they're pretty tough. I mean, they some tough vehicles. A little tank. Tank with wheels.
Bless you.
Yeah, they have, like, air purification systems and shit in there so that, if it is a bio attack or chemical attack, their vehicles, these military vehicles are outfitted with filters that'll filter that shit out and make it breathable in there. I mean, we got some sophisticated shit, people don't really realize for every fucking occasion.
This isn't like the whole Brinks robbery happened back in the 70s, I believe, They had nothing. Yeah, the armored car was armored, right? But it was just your typical armored car with no type of thing and, all that stuff. All you do is just take that son of a bitch, which is what they did, and whatever. They have whatever it takes to protect that cargo.
Well, it's just like banks, today's banks, they don't have no money in that damn vault. Okay, they get a shipment in probably on Friday, when everybody gets paid. But other than that, they don't, because you ever go by a bank and you look in there and you see that vault door open? There's a bank just right about a half a block from me right here. And I drove by there and that big old bank door is wide open and there's an old man guard sitting there in a chair. Right inside the front door.
Open.
So obviously there's no money in it. Okay. Because if there was money in it, that thing would be closed and locked. Okay. So that proves right there. Banks don't have any money in them anymore.
Well, you know what? Yeah, like now the federal government, Biden administration, is wanting to kind of concede on allowing like Visa, MasterCard purchases for legal marijuana in the states that have legal marijuana, because in every state, because it's still federally banned, they can't utilize those banks, and so it's an all cash business. And so if there's one way to do away with cash, it, you know, allow credit purchases, allow Chase Bank and, you know, Morgan Stanley and Citibank and all of them to get their, you know, profits in on the legal marijuana and do away with cash. And I used to be for it, like, you know, I'm like, oh man, we need to be able to do this. But now I'm kind of rethinking it, because like legal marijuana is really the last cash only business because of the federal law. It's cash only. And there's only few banks that take their cash deposits. You know, but it's, you know, if they're wanting to do, you know, do away with cash, then the legal marijuana angle is the way to do it. Allow, allow digital currency, to pay for legal marijuana instead of cash.
It says here that we're in, we're in no man's land now.
Yep.
At that. That reminds me. Remember that show on TV that Chuck Norris starred in, Texas Walker Rangers?
Texas Rangers.
Yeah,
Texas,
that's
Rangers.
Still on TV. I watch that almost every day.
If you remember an episode where he was supposed to be in the Badlands of Texas, and they, and there was a there was a restaurant right there, it was called the Boxcar, and it was like two or three actual boxcars. A train, you know, that, you know, they turned it into a restaurant, right? Well, mm-hmm. If you remember, if you've seen that episode, that's only a half a mile from my fucking house. Only a half a mile.
Badland.
Yep, because I remember driving down there one day, and it was on their sign outside this restaurant. And I've been in the restaurant, Boxcar. I've been in there many times. And they said, be sure and tune in to tonight's episode or whatever date of Walker, Texas Ranger and all that shit. And I sure did. I said, damn, I know where that is. I've been in there half a mile down the from my house. So, yeah,
cool.
That's pretty cool.
I would have been like, I want to fight Chuck Norris, man. I want to see if he's really that good.
Yeah. I don't know if I'd want to even take the chance of his shit. He's
you'll probably get your ass kicked.
He's pretty old now.
Just shoot him.
Even as old as he is, you know, like, he probably still hasn't lost it. I have a feeling he's still trained.
They say he beat Bruce Lee.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to find out.
I definitely
want to find out.
It'd be ugly.
I'm going to fight what the hell.
He's what,
and depending on the outcome, you are running for office. So if you severely get your ass beat, it's a gamble.
Yeah, well, it'd be good publicity.
Yeah, vote for me. I got my ass whipped by a 75-year-old man.
Not even 83. 83 years old.
83.
Okay, vote for me. I got my ass whipped by an 83-year-old man.
Hey, you know, I don't think he can win. Not 83.
Yeah, he's 83.
No way.
I just looked it up. Yep, just looked it up. Chuck Norris. Born March 10th, 1940.
Let's contact him. Let's put him up for a dare.
Yeah.
Yep. He's got I believe, 20-year-old son, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, did you guys see Dolly Parton yesterday?
Yes.
Oh, that's gross.
I didn't see it, but I've heard of it. Yeah.
She's gross. She's a hang it
I've
up,
always
man.
Been a fan of hers, though. But, man, like, I don't know. I've always been a fan of hers. I always have been since I was a little girl.
How old is she, 105?
Oh, man. And she keeps 70, going. Like, this is a woman that will never die. She is immortal, you know, I think.
That's for sure.
Good God.
Kind of like Clint Eastwood. Like, Dolly Parton is to country music as Clint Eastwood is to Hollywood movies.
Yeah.
Like,
but Clint Eastwood really looks like he's 200 years old.
They're just going to go until the day they fucking die, you know, and they're just going to keep going. And you got to respect
really
it at the same time. Cold. Yeah, motherfucker is what, like 93 or something now?
Yeah.
And he's still involved in the production of movies and things. Like, yeah, he's not going to quit. Dolly Parton's the same way.
Wow, I'm looking at a picture of Chuck Norris's son. Looks like him.
I just looked up how many black belts is Chuck Norris.
They say he beat Bruce Lee.
That's what they said.
Yeah.
They said he's got a 10th degree black belt in Chuan Kondo, 9th degree in Tang Soo Do.
Back in the 80s and 70s, he was a bad man, let me tell you.
8th degree in Taekwondo. Oh, my God, whatever this shit is. Jeez. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want to find out.
I would like to see Chuck Norris, right, in his prime against Mike Tyson.
Oh, yeah, damn.
That would have been a good one, huh?
Yeah, that would have been a good one there. Jeez.
You know, the funny thing is, it's like people don't give credit to the martial arts that really is deserved.